The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
The quarterback, two receivers lined up to the left, one to the right. There's a flanker lined up to the left behind the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He gives the ball, though. He doesn't get the ball. The receiver goes all the way over there to the left. Once the quarterback has the ball, he fakes to the left. No, he fakes to the right. He doesn't fake. He thinks about fake. He pretends to fake.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
It's not like you could use a shower.
Oh, listen. You can think what you want about my personal hygiene, but please don't waste any water. That's bad policy.
Paul Perillo.
So that's what opening up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.
And Andy. And Andy?
There, girl, you're seeing.
Seeing? I see a lot of girls. I see a lot of guys, too.
I think that's sexy. You ever been with a guy and a girl at the same time?
Oh, yeah, plenty of times. The other night, I was with my mama and Coach Klein at the same time.
Andy Hart.
And I like Vicky, and she likes me back. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them too.
Eric Scalavino.
I want you to think about all those mean people. They're going to be your tackling fuel.
Tackling fuel.
We're going to use them to play football.
Tackling fuel.
For now, anyway.
Ooh, I'm a football player.
Coach, I'd like to tackle him right now,
please.
Not yet. PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Oh, no! We suck again!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
We didn't have any of these problems when I was hosting last week.
No, well, we were busy talking to the marathon finisher, Andy Hart. So
yes, congratulations.
Getting the update there. Congratulations, Andy Hart, for, was it 4 hours doing it?
4:23. Yeah, it was a little slower than I wanted, but...
That's awesome. I mean, you finished. Teddy Bruschi did it in 4:55, I think.
So yeah,
you beat Teddy Bruschi.
Compared to most things, it was good. But
among other people, you know, in the organization.
Yes. I finished very well.
I think if you do under 5 hours, you're doing good.
My biggest thing is I didn't walk, and that's my thing. I don't want to walk, and I didn't walk. Yeah. No matter how slow I may have been trudging at some point.
Well, I saw you late in the game, and you looked pretty strong to me.
It was very hot.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't say, I don't know what it was, 70
no,
or whatever.
No, but to the runners, they say it was over 80 degrees.
The sun was, the sun was pretty powerful.
They said in the Natick stretch, like a little west of the city, it was easily 75.
Yeah, it was, it was hot.
Yeah, so,
I only have two to compare last year and this year, and dramatic heat difference.
Will you do it again?
Probably not.
No, this is it. Retiring.
I did not enjoy it. I'm not going to lie to you. In the middle of it.
You're hanging up your bib.
It was not fun. Yeah, in the middle, it was not fun. Yeah. It was not.
Well, that's great. You finished.
Struggling. I finished.
So, bucket list done.
Check it off. I earned it. Hopefully, at some point, I'll get that photo from the BAA showing me crossing the finish line, and
that's great.
I got it. Robert was out there. Did you see him?
I heard that he was out.
Tom was out there with his. I didn't see his wife, but I saw his son was on his shoulders, like sleeping. Yeah. He was near BC. Robert was right around Heartbreak Hill. I saw him taking photos with fans, and there's an employee of the organization that has a house right in there.
Okay,
I think he was at their house, and
because
his son Josh did really well. Josh Kraft.
Yeah.
Who is the head of the Patriots Charitable Fund.
Yeah.
He was, I was really surprised how well.
Was that his first?
It was, I believe it was his first. And he was very negative. Like, I just want to be done. I don't want to do this anymore. And he finished shortly after. I think he was like 4:30 something.
That's good.
I think Bill Rogers trained him over the weekend.
Well, somebody said he might have been, you know, kind of doing some extra training that we didn't know about.
How did Christy do?
Christy was a little slower than last year, but she was ahead of me
Christy
again.
Christy Berkery of the PR department.
I think she was like 4:08-ish, somewhere in there.
4:08.
She was trying to break. That's she great. Was trying to break four last year, right?
She broke four last
year. She did break it last year
by like 3:50 something.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But it, like I said, just observing the number of people that were stopping, walking, peeling off into medical tents.
But the people on all fours, but refusing help because then they.
I mean, one
off.
Guy. They were doing CPR on him in front
of a
water stop. Hopefully that.
But ironically, the front of the group, like the professionals, were running ridiculously fast times.
Well, the woman.
But it was cooler then.
Well, that was part of it. It did get hotter.
The morning,
they were lucky. Yeah. They went early. But
right, they're only done in 2 hours. So.
Right, and they started at like 9 or 10, so they're
they
done
start
by
at 10. They're done by noon.
And we were just, you know, we started 11:20 something. So you know, we only had 45 minutes.
Yeah, by the time you crossed the start line, what time was it?
Yeah, it was 11:30 something. Oh. Yeah,
the race
starts at 10.
The start was
very hectic. Yeah. It was very hectic.
Yeah.
At the start, I mean,
people jostling for position. Yeah,
is that frustrating? The start, like knowing that.
Not for me.
Come on, let's get
because
going.
Your time doesn't start till you cross. You know,
no,
you
but
have
aren't you anxious? Aren't you anxious?
Yeah, and I was a little annoyed, but like we were supposed to be corral one. We're supposed to be at the front of our wave or whatever. And we never even got close. It just started. It was like a running start. Everybody just started moving. And
free for all?
Kind of. Yeah. You were just on your way, but it was really cool. There were a lot of people. Like the last 5 or 6 miles were just loud. Like, you know, Gillette Stadium should be that loud, kind of loud,
right.
Like deafening people just.
Right.
Really. Some people said they actually, it was. Too loud. It was distracting. It was kind of annoying,
right.
But I thought it was pretty cool.
Well, especially the people, I noticed the people, a lot of people had their like names on their shirts one way or the other. So everyone would be like screaming their name as they, it's
oh
like,
yeah.
They would think like, I know this person, but when in reality,
right.
They would have,
oh
to
yeah, no. Or people would just yell, hey, Patriot guy, or you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, I ran next to you for probably 100 yards with the American flag above my head and I was screaming at you and you looked right at me and waved.
I do not have any recollection.
Yeah, you looked
of that.
Right, but you, I mean, Kevin ran over to the Gatorade table and took one afterwards.
Yeah, I just have no recollection of that.
Tell Fred your Captain America story.
Yeah, I wore an Under Armour because we had like tank tops that were a little too revealing for my liking, and so I had an Under Armour Captain America that probably a quarter of the shield showed above like the tank top, and I thought people were yelling for me, "Hey, Captain America!" Apparently, there was a guy running behind me who was dressed like Captain America, but in my mind, they were yelling for me.
I thought you were going to say only a few letters were revealed, and they were calling you Kaka.
No. There was a point too where I had bad gas for a while, and
surprise.
I was farting, and then I'm like, it smells like SHI around here, and I hope I didn't. You know,
did anyone that you saw?
No.
Oh, okay.
But there was some bad BO too.
Oh, yeah.
There was a guy in front of me. He had to have been 10 feet in front of me, he was clearly getting tired. He put his hands above his head, and like I immediately just like was engulfed.
Well,
in
that's
his
why
BO.
That's why they call it Boylston Street, because after the marathon they have to boil it with water just to get.
He's just got his A game today.
That also
folks.
Explains why so many people after Andy finished, you know, an hour and a half after
right.
they were supposed to,
they were
right.
gassed
they were out.
Out.
Right.
They
it
were
was
stopping.
No, it was. It was very, very good experience. You know, right. we, you know, there were a lot of Patriots connections. Our team, Brewski ran. Like I right. said, Robert and Tom were out there.
Yeah.
So it was and it was from everything I've heard, great experience for fans.
It was a great event, I hear.
Yeah. Like, you know, packed, but no problems.
Yeah.
My wife, actually, they were able to get from 10 to 17 and then to the finish. They went to all three of those spots, were able to do it. And
cool.
So it was, it was a good time.
Yeah, I was actually in Boston the day before, and I had lunch, Easter lunch on Boylston Street,
yep.
right a block from the finish line.
Yep.
So it was packed on Sunday. I mean, it was just the sidewalks were just packed with people.
It's a happening
really?
Place.
Just
big event.
Just to go down, people going down to the finish line, taking pictures.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they had it closed, right? Like, so you could walk
on
the street.
You could walk, right? Yeah, could walk the street. Well, no, I mean... Boylston, you could drive your car, but like maybe 50 feet in front of the finish line, you had to take a right.
Oh, okay. Because I saw on the news a lot of people, like tourists, taking photos with the finish line and with the emblem in the street
right,
and all that
right.
various things.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I finally realized where I was stopped last year, and it was right before you have to go down a little dip and then up a dip. It goes like under... a road there.
Yeah.
They call it like the quiet tunnel or something.
Yeah.
And that's a real kick in the stones because it's a steep downhill and a steep uphill before you go on to Hereford and then Boylston. And a guy next to me goes, "Oh, this is just stupid. I'm walking." And it made me laugh out loud because it was. It was like one last kick in the nuts. Like,
right.
why do we have to run down a steep hill and then up a steep hill here? And the way he did it and his friend says, "All right, I'll see you at the finish." Or something. But he just, "This is just stupid," he said. But I do want to thank that one woman, wherever you were in Wellesley, for the cookie. I think that got me through. I think the cookie was the difference.
It might have.
Like,
yeah.
I literally, it
tasted
so,
tasted
so good.
Yeah.
Where was that? Or like, roughly what mileage?
I think it was in the 16.
Wellesley, maybe?
I think it was, it wasn't like in the Wellesley part where the girls are, the college, but it was somewhere in that general area.
Maybe Newton.
And I needed it.
Newton?
Hey, is there Newton?
Yeah.
Is there a different Brookline out by the start? Because I swore like there was a point, because they had those big white like signs that said like welcome to, and I swore like out in Hopkinton past, like there was like a quick little strip of Brookline or something.
Not that I know
of. I got a little confused out there.
Yeah.
But
okay. It was psychologically
fun.
They wanted people to think, hey, you're close.
I did have one of those. I thought I was coming up on 24 and I came up and it said 25 and like I've never been so happy. I don't know where I lost the mile in there or whatever, got confused, but because there's a lot of uphills you don't think about. Like everybody talks about Heartbreak Hill, whatever.
Right.
Heartbreak Hill to me isn't that bad. It's the miles before that are a kick in the ass. And then there's a couple, like when you see the Citgo sign, I think you pass over a highway that's like and there's nobody there. There's not a lot of crowd. It's like a late kick in the balls kind of hill. But
I guess it's a tougher course than like New York, I guess.
Well, yeah, and like Chicago, a lot of people have told me that's real flat.
Yeah.
Like even the girl Flanagan, she was on like through the first 17 miles, she was on like a world record pace, and then she just
started hitting the hills. Yeah, I think that happened to a lot of people. The adrenaline of the day, and I think, and then you add the heat to it,
right?
And I think it just kicked some people's butts.
Yeah, it did. But it's over.
Good. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Excellent.
And congratulations to all our listeners. Well, first of all, thank you to all our listeners. They were very, I don't want to mention his name, but we had a very generous listener who I think, yesterday, right around race time, pushed me over the top of my goal.
Nice.
With a very generous donation. So I very much appreciate that. I appreciate all the people that donated. I appreciate all the people. I got a lot of tweets and how you doing. I got some, hey, you kicked Brewski's ass. You beat him, after the race. So I want to thank everybody. And, hopefully I haven't heard from Matt Cox. I hope he made out okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
hopefully he can
finished.
Call in.
Yeah. Yeah, Matt, if you're out there listening, call in and, tell us how you made out, but it was a good day.
Good
stuff. Patriots Day.
Good stuff. All right. So,
and the off-season program started.
Yep.
So Brady must have worked out.
Say,
and went down.
And
there.
Oh, that
hot off the.
Hot,
we actually just
literally.
Passed the delivery.
Pre-draft
so,
issue.
So we
of
have a lot of football to talk about.
That's a good looking paper right there, Fred.
Yeah.
Draft hunters.
As Andy mentioned, the OTA started yesterday for the Patriots, and you can see exclusive video on Patriots.com of Brady and Darrell Revis.
Right. There's a picture of Brady and Revis in the facility. So they
shortly before he came out to the marathon, apparently.
Probably. Gerard Mayo. So that's on Patriots.com. And as Eric just mentioned, our draft preview edition of Patriots Football Weekly is hitting newsstands as we speak.
Paul is drinking a Miller Lite on the beach.
Yep.
He sent us a photo.
So, is that where he is? I didn't know.
Myrtle Beach.
I thought maybe the pain of all the runners affected him indirectly, and he had to take the day off or something. You know, so Paul's on vacation this week.
He is.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
I believe he's down in South Carolina.
He's on vacation when he's here, so I don't know what the difference is.
Well, there's no beach here.
When he does that popping sound, it's a Diet Pepsi here.
Right.
When he's on vacation, it's a Miller Lite.
Right.
That's the only difference.
That's the only difference.
Yep.
Okay.
And he's still wearing his black Northeastern hat.
Probably.
He sent us a photo.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he tweeted it out. He's in vacation mode.
All right. A loser-palooza. All right, so Paul's out.
That's just become anywhere Paul is actually loser-palooza.
But I guess good attendance, according to, I think, Jeff Howe, anyone notable on the Patriots was here yesterday.
I'd be stunned if they weren't.
So I guess that's a subjective,
observation. You would really have to be out of your mind if you're not here.
Well,
what else are you doing? This is your job.
I guess so. Yeah, but I mean, for example, up in Detroit, Sue didn't show up for their first day.
But is he going through a contract squabble or something?
I believe he is on the cusp of a contract.
So then that might explain.
But also,
Brandon Spikes did.
Yeah, I found that interesting.
Yeah.
Now he's conforming.
Yeah, right.
You know why he's conforming? Because his career is going down the pooper.
Exactly.
You better conform if you want. You have a 1 year deal in Buffalo. You know what comes after 1 year deals in Buffalo? Nothing.
Right.
You go to the CFL with Ocho.
Right.
So not surprising that he's conforming.
Yeah.
But I also, you don't have to be here. You can have perfect attendance and miss the first day. They have like a makeup week at some point, and I mean, you can basically,
as long as you get your days
right. And there's also four, I believe it's only 4 days a week. You can fill in your fifth day if you need to, and you know what I mean. So you can basically be a full participant and have missed the first day. But I think it's a great image, whatever you want to call it, for Revis and Brady and those guys to be here.
Of course, sure.
I certainly think that's a good start to everything.
Now you could have almost said, you know, because in the old days it was March, early to mid March was when
about
this
a month
started.
Earlier, yeah.
So at that point you could say, well, you know, maybe you have, you know, the off season's truncated for those guys. Maybe they had something to do, but by this point,
it's here.
It's time the to end start. Of April.
Do practice, your job.
Practice in less than a month.
Your job is to be a New England Patriot.
And Eric, any word on when the schedule might be coming out?
Yeah, my sources tell me that by Thursday at the latest we'll have a schedule. Thursday
it is a moving latest. Finish line though, because it had been Tuesday.
It was supposed
the 22nd.
To be
22nd. Pro Football Talks. Yeah,
today. It was supposed to be today,
and that got bumped off or bumped back a little.
Somebody
bit.
Somebody asked me last week before that tweet came out when I think the schedule's coming out, and I said maybe Tuesday, meaning today, but Thursday at the latest. So I'm sticking with Thursday at the latest.
Okay. All right, so we'll, I mean, we obviously know who the Patriots are playing
it's just be
and
fun
where,
to know
we just don't know when.
Sure. What the primetime games are going to be and all that. I mean, that's part of the excitement.
And there
of it.
Hasn't been a lot of early release of primetime games this year. Usually they start to trickle out, right?
Yeah, usually when we're at the owners' meeting.
Right.
That's usually the time when we get at least a handful of the first
we
weekend.
Didn't
we didn't get any
year.
Of that this year, so that's a little
and
odd.
The only one that came was, didn't Buffalo accidentally put their Thanksgiving?
Right.
Oh, yes, they're playing the Lions on Thanksgiving. Yeah.
That's the only
accidental.
One I've heard.
Yeah.
There was some news today, schedule-wise, kind of playoff, but NBC will air a playoff game for the first time
in years, decades, right?
Since the 80s, I guess, or something like that. I don't know what the deal is with that. I thought that they had some playoff games, but I guess not.
Since
maybe it was just wild card they had, and now they have a divisional game.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say
they had wild card.
Yeah, when they got the Sunday night package, they were getting Saturday wild card games.
Yeah, I guess so. So maybe it's a divisional game that they have for the first time.
Who cares?
Since the
it's not about the network.
As long as it's on,
it's about the teams.
Right.
The action on the field.
Right. All right.
By the way, you can tell I had something to do with the cover since I got Deion Buchanan on the cover.
Okay, good.
D1.
Our draft preview issue this year has a real estate theme.
Right, a little draft hunter.
So instead of house hunting, we're talent.
Well, but it's also a play on words for drafting, draftsmanship, cinematics.
Right,
there's all that to consider.
So there's a lot of that stuff running through the paper, but very complete. I read the whole thing yesterday.
Good, I'm glad.
And I have
you
a little
last week.
I have a little spin on the draft in my edit, an idea.
Oh, that's right. I haven't read. Did anybody read that?
I did.
Oh no.
Well,
I'm going to save that for later. Yeah. After the show, I'm going to read that and get a laugh or two, I'm guessing.
So. There's already a typo in the headline. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, got it. So I wrote that yesterday. Just a little idea that I have that I think
he actually misspelled his name.
Is a big idea. Anyway, all
is this like taking the draft on the road as a carnival?
Nope, even better. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
Oh,
855-PATS-500 is toll free.
We do have, I believe, an announcement coming today of the players who will be at the draft.
Okay.
Because there were rumblings last week that Tom Savage, the Pittsburgh quarterback, who's suddenly the taste du jour or whatever, that he might be there, which I think is ridiculous. I thought it was stars go to the draft, you know, top 10 picks or whatever it's going to be. And if he's there, I don't care for it. He's a Jag.
Yeah. All right. I don't even know him.
Is he related to Phil Savage at all?
I don't believe so. I believe the Patriots are or have met with him. They've added him to the list of.
Yeah.
And then some people were saying, oh, he's the same agent as Darrell Revis, and maybe it's a thank you to pump up Savage, or I don't know.
Is somebody, I mean.
We've reached that point.
Our Twitter accounts are still, you know, being fed with people having their thoughts on why the Patriots are meeting with all these quarterbacks. And I think it's just
information gathering.
I know you can only have certain amount of visits, but you can go visit as many as you want.
Right.
I think some of the players that they really think they have a shot at, I'm sure they're going out and visiting there. And so I think they're filling the ones that they can have here with guys that, you know, maybe they don't think they're going to take them, but to get into that mold of talking to quarterbacks, because they're going to have to do that for the next few years.
Another theory I've heard floated out there is the college offenses and the types of offenses they're running, these, you know, these spread, these ones that look to the sideline for the coach, and that Bill is picking the brains of the guys that are running those offenses as those start to seep into the NFL to get a better idea and feel for those offenses, and that there's some of that involved.
Could be. You know, it's and it's probably a lot of different reasons.
That's how I look
it's
at
probably
it.
Probably not just one reason. You know?
I'd be surprised if they're bringing a guy in for one reason only.
Right. You know? So
I did like, did you see, well, first of all, did you see that Jadeveon Clowney is, we're not pronouncing it right? There's a new pronunciation.
Oh, really?
Which one?
According
Clowney
to him
or the
or
Jadeveon?
According
Jadeveon,
to Eric.
It's.
No, not according to me.
I think it's Jadeveon.
Jadeveon?
It's supposed to be like Devon in the middle there, that Jadeveon.
I don't know.
Or something. He's changed that. But also, I saw a report that the Texans are hosting both Clowney and Manziel today. And I like it when teams do that. Like, sort of like we had Bridgewater and Manziel. You know, play guys off each other and
see
how that
mix. King
is
saying the Texans told him that they're going to take Mac, Khalil Mack.
That's interesting. I think that's a terrible pick. I think you're setting yourself up for some serious failure there, because you have Clowney, who most people think is some sort of a generational talent, whatever, despite last year. And I tell you, I think Anthony Barr is a phenomenal talent in the league of Khalil Mack.
I actually spent 16 minutes over the weekend watching all of Clowney's high school clips,
high school
clips. Highlights. Yeah. I mean, half the time they didn't even block him. He just ran in free.
Right.
You know, it's unbelievable.
That helps to make a tackle.
Yeah.
We call those Dan Klecko plays.
Yeah. I mean, they were running away from him because of his speed. He would just catch up to the guy and still make the play around the line of scrimmage. But he was a man among boys in high school. There's just, you know, it was ridiculous.
And a lot of those guys are, but also a lot of those guys don't pan out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, Reggie Bush had some of those YouTube where he was just absolutely phenomenal. Didn't really do it in the NFL. I mean, he's good, but not generational talent or whatever you want to call it. The guy from who went to West Virginia, the skinny little running back guy that went to West Virginia had one of those.
But you know, Clowney
from
lined up at
draft,
running back some
Tavon,
of the time.
Tavon Austin
in high school.
No, not him. Before him, he did too. That's the point where you're the best player on the field. You're the best athlete. You're the strongest, fastest, biggest, all of that. Sometimes that doesn't pan out. Or sometimes those guys peak too early.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of those guys that are the number one, you know, scouts.com number one prospect. Mm. You never, they
or
don't pan
you know,
on
they rely on that athleticism at that level.
Right. And get by.
And then when they have to work, they're like, the hell with that. You know, even though they have a chance to be something great, they decide that, you know, they're just not motivated.
All right. Let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Lots of people calling in. We'll first go to Buffalo, where Andrew's on the line. Hey, Andrew. Hello, Andrew from Buffalo. Anyone? No.
Hello, Andrew. Buffalo, you're on.
Maybe he's talking to Khalil Mack.
Okay, we'll call
or
back
Brandon
Andrew
Spikes.
From Buffalo. Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin. Melvin.
Clearly, this is an us problem, there's not a them problem. Yeah.
Melvin, you there?
Sounds like we're having...
Hey, there you go,
Melvin.
What's going on?
What'd you screw up now?
Turn down your computer.
No, turned him way, way, way up.
Oh. I'm nowhere near a computer, so.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what's going on?
All right.
No, that was Kevin's fault. Sorry,
he's real quiet.
Okay. Yeah, I just got a real quick question. First of all, congrats, and on finishing your race.
Thank you very much.
No problem. I know you worked real hard for that. But and my question's kind of directed towards you. I remember last year, towards this time, it was all about Terrence Williams and getting that receiver. How did you feel like, I know we ended up taking Ann Dobson, and initially I remember you saying that you just didn't like the pick. How did you feel like, Ann Dobson is compared to Terrence Williams? I know I saw a lot of Cowboys games, maybe myself, them choking up and losing a lot of football games like normal. But how did you feel like, how do you feel like he is compared to Terrence Williams and versus the other people, sophomore kind of receivers coming out here? I thought Keenan Allen was pretty hot.
Keenan Allen had a great rookie season, very productive. Now, there wasn't a lot in that offense. You know, he and Danny Woodhead were kind of the keys to that offense, both first-time players for them. I still look at Dobson, in my opinion, as a two. You know, I think he will always we always talk about the floor and the ceiling. I think his floor is higher than Williams. I think Williams still has a chance to be an elite playmaker. I think we saw flashes of it last year. I don't know if it'll ever pan out. and he'll be consistent enough to be a truly elite, great player. But I still think he has a higher upside. Dobson, I think, has a chance to be good, but I'm not sure he's ever going to be great.
Okay. That was a simple question for me. All right, I'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Thanks, Melvin. All right. Melvin in Tennessee.
I love how interested people are in receivers.
Oh, I mean, in this team, you should be.
No, I know.
It's passing league.
Well, but should you be? Because on this team, as Paul painted, you're kind of locked in at receiver. You have
perform is critical to the success.
Well, it's Dobson.
You're locked
Dobson
in,
is very much in a pressure position.
But you're locked in if you don't make any more moves.
Right, significant.
Yeah, if they add a significant, you know, if they took a first-round pick at that position,
right,
the first-round pick is a lock. So now, at the end of the line,
Tompkins and
Boyce
get kind of pushed out.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have that line right now of these guys are going to get cut, whoever's below it. Yeah. You slot somebody in
above.
Unless
Dobson spends the year on IR.
Or PUP, and then that decision gets made middle of the year rather than early in the year.
Right.
You know, it's an interesting position where I don't have great confidence right now. You know, they could be good.
Right.
You know, if Dobson makes a year two jump, if Edelman stays healthy, and if Amendola is better, okay, they could be good.
Right.
You know, they might be really good.
But it's a lot of ifs.
If Edelman gets hurt, Amendola gets hurt and is disappointing, and Dobson's not on the field, they could suck. They could absolutely suck at receiver.
Right.
Right? And that's a big window.
Let's go to Antoine in Jersey City. Hey, Antoine.
Hey, how you doing,
Fred?
I like to congratulate Andy, you know, for running the marathon. I really tip my hat off to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Thank you. You're welcome. But I had a conversation with a coworker of mine, and he's a Patriots fan too. And I was actually thinking about, we actually made double dip in draft with tight ends. Now, I'm really big on Troy Nicholas. I've looked at his film, and I really think that he has real nice soft hands and someone who could not only compliment Gronkowski, but be as like almost as a backup too, in case we do have another slip up with Gronkowski or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd just like to hear y'all analyze that and give me your feedback on that.
I know a lot of people
are lusting after
Nicholas as a Gronk duo, putting those two together as, you know, big, white, exciting, versatile, have some fun out there, sort of like party boys. Give Gronk a party boy friend. But I wouldn't eliminate Fedorowicz out of Iowa from that mix either. He's a similar guy that could be better than his college production. I think he has soft hands. I think he's a big 6'6", whatever body that could be in that same mold. So I'm all for that, because I do think,
for double dipping or just taking a tight.
Well, and taking one, you know, you make the decision. Are you taking a Jace Amaro, you know, sort of that move, the Hernandez, the slot, the this, the that, or are you taking more of the traditional, can spread out wide, but also is big, can be an inline blocker.
Yeah.
And if you're a little dubious about Gronk moving forward, then I think the Fedorowicz Nicholas role, even to some degree, Safarian Jenkins, might be the way you go. Because, yes, he's the number two now, but he might have to be the number one in a year.
Yeah.
Not just health, but Gronk has that bonus.
Right.
That $10 million that you're going to have to make a decision in two years, I want to clarify.
Not the
end of
this year.
A lot of misinformation.
It's the end of 2015's season.
2 years from now, you have to decide.
Before the 2016 league year begins.
To pay him and extend the rest of that contract. You know, it might be nice to have a guy that's ready to sort of assume that role. Not as great as Gronk, because we know. Gronk, when healthy, was the best tight end season ever.
Yeah.
Best ever. But maybe someone who can kind of fill in that position.
Yep. Let's go now to Buffalo. Andrew, you're on the line now?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes,
we
got you, Andrew.
Speak up just a little bit, though.
We'll just blame Kevin for everything.
I'm sorry.
Just real quiet.
Something must be wrong with my Bluetooth. But, I hear y'all was talking about the tight ends and double dipping, and that sounds nice, and we do need a couple of tight ends, but I feel like there's so many issues. So, you know, like we said before, on defense, with the pass rushing. Like, when you look at that Denver game, no one got to pay Manny. We need to address that in the draft. And y'all was saying, like, Dobson is, you know, a number two receiver. That's still a problem for me, because Amendola, Edelman, they're not number one, and we need a number one guy. So it's either a pass rusher or a wide receiver or, you know, a big tight. I like the guy in Washington State, the tight end, but I overheard Andy saying that he has a problem with putting the team first.
Wait, who are we talking about?
You're talking about Safarian Jenkins?
From Washington?
He's from Washington.
Yeah. He has a questionable reputation as sort of off the field and as a worker and coachability, and some of those things might be a bit of an issue.
Wow. Yeah. I want to go pass rusher, to be honest, in the first round. You know, there's a guy in there. I forgot his name. I can't remember, but I guess somebody said that we might get him. I can't remember who it is.
Ely?
A draft pick or a veteran?
Yeah.
Dix?
Yeah, that's Ely, Connie Ely.
Connie Ely.
He has been all over the place. There's some people that think he's like a top 15 pick. Others think he's like a mid-second round pick. He's certainly an intriguing pass rusher. I believe our guy, Rob Rang, has him as the second best pass rusher in this draft. He has him behind Clowney as the number two defensive end slash pass rusher in this draft with huge upside. You know, some people have D Ford in that mix and a few other players, but Ely, I think, would certainly be a nice addition to this defense. And I've said all along, tight end, safety, pass rusher. To me, those are the three big needs.
Any of those three, I'd be happy
with. Well, yeah, thank you guys, though.
Okay. Right. Thanks, Andrew.
Brad, this is a little more before you go.
Oh, you know what? I wish we had asked him if he had gotten to see Khalil Mack play at all. Yeah. Just, you know, get an eyeball test.
Is that Nate Solder at the race I keep seeing video of? This is a little more your age group or whatever.
That's the Hancock Tower.
He's got his A game today.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is his A game.
I know. Right?
The McGillivray, or the guy who the race director?
Dave McGillivray.
Is it true that he once swam to Martha's Vineyard and then ran a race there?
I don't know.
Somebody was saying that today, that like he's a real like freak. A little.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Depending on where you leave from, that's at least 45 minutes to an hour and a half.
On
a boat.
On a boat. Yeah.
Right. Because I know he once ran across country for charity, and he's done some various, but to me, that's ridiculous. To swim to an island to go do a race, and an island that's not all that close.
Was it a marathon?
No, I think it was like a 5 or a 10K.
Still.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that you swam
you didn't
across,
die.
Yeah. Yeah,
you didn't drown.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's impressive enough.
Or get eaten by a shark or something.
Now, that's a good story right there.
Oh, boy.
All right, let's go to Indiana. Jim is on the line. Hey, Jim.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, I'm going to be sacrilegious here for a minute.
Uh-oh.
I hope Belichick's not listening.
He's not. Don't worry.
No, he's not.
Yeah. How about moving up in the draft?
Yes, I like your thinking.
Four?
I like it. Doesn't matter.
No, it does matter. This is not Draft Day the movie where you make a trade and then you know, figure out later what you're going
to
do.
No, one of the three that we mentioned. One of those three positions. If you decide that
No, it has to be one. One guy, you're moving up, you know you need to get him. Who is it, John?
I would think Mike Evans or Ebron.
I would definitely... I don't like Ebron. I think he's a bust waiting to happen. Mike Evans, I think, could be the best.
But they're not
going to
have a shot
draft.
At him, unfortunately.
Well, sure, trade up, you could.
We'll call up Oakland.
I've seen some people who think Evans could slip to as low as like 15. If
then
that
you
happens,
might have
he might
a shot.
Be in the ballpark.
He might have a shot, but I'm thinking he's going to be 10 or 11.
I think he should be a top 10 pick. I think he's really good.
Yeah, I agree, top 10. And maybe we could call up the Raiders and say, hey, look, we'll give you Ryan Mallett. And
what?
A couple
draft
choices.
They might just take that.
It's the Raiders. You never know.
You never know. You might as well ask.
Yeah, that guy with the bad hairdo. You never know.
How about we'll give you Ryan Mallett in our 2004 playbook?
2004?
Yeah.
They wouldn't know what to do with it.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my thought. I know we never move up, but
no, that's not true. We just did it 2 years ago.
Yeah, we moved up.
Chandler Jones and Dante Hightower.
Right.
Both of them, they moved up.
They've moved up 17 times since 2001.
In the first round?
No.
Thank you. Because I don't care when they make that stupid swap with Andy Reid or whatever in the seventh round just to jerk us around.
But I think they've moved up three times.
We don't normally have a first-round pick. We give them away.
That's because they moved down, right?
Right.
But we don't give them away.
Yeah,
Sometimes they're good trades.
Yeah.
You know, that trade for the Mark Ingram pick was a good trade. You added a second pick. I mean, second-round pick, and got a second-round pick.
Right, and you're upset because, you know, they gave it away or traded down, picked up extra picks. We're really upset because the picks didn't end up being really good players. But if players were available when they were picking, that if they had chosen them, we'd be saying, wow, that was a good move.
Right, having the first or whatever pick of the second round, you blew it.
Right.
Still a good pick. I mean, you had a good pick that you could have made.
Yeah. I just think that if we're ever going to move up, this is the year to do it. I that would be incredible.
Well, I've been saying because of the perceived depth of the draft, there could be more partners willing to move down. So you yes. have more
could be a buyer's
to
market to
right,
there because
right.
you're right. If there's a lot of teams trying to that pushes the value of those picks down, all of a sudden, if you see a guy you can go get, it's intriguing.
Yep. So there might be more dance partners for the Patriots to play with this year.
Yeah. The only place I could see where we would probably have somebody interested in Ryan Mallett is Houston, and they're not going to give up their pick.
They're not interested in Ryan
Mallett. Yeah, I don't think they would be interested because Bill O'Brien knows too much.
Exactly.
Yeah. We need somebody who doesn't know quite enough about Mallett.
Yeah. Or possibly the Browns. But the Browns wouldn't be a big move up, and I don't think Mike Evans would be available then either.
No.
Kevin Costner, I don't think, is interested in Ryan Mallett either.
Anyway.
Well, all right.
Anyway.
Thanks, Jim. You're,
all right. Fred just got his all right from a caller. He was done with your idiocy.
I did get someone who saw draft day said, it's not as bad as you might think. It's pretty good.
Oh, I heard just the opposite.
I've heard nothing but bad.
I heard it keeps you interested for 2 hours.
Yeah, but you don't know how the NFL works, so I can see how it
you have to suspend belief a little bit.
He just says,
you have to suspend belief a little bit if you know really how things operate.
Are you going to see it?
No.
Maybe on the plane?
No, I want to go see Noah. I hear that's good.
Yes.
I want to see Noah and a couple others. Transcendence.
Godzilla.
Yeah. Godzilla.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I have no interest in that.
Oh, it looks really good. Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad.
He is
Bad's
good.
On.
Bryan Cranston is good, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just. Yeah.
Why?
See, I think of him as Bryan Cranston from Argo.
Big dinosaur running amok, causing
Argo's
chaos good. Doesn't appeal to you?
Not really, no.
Oh, jeez. I live for that.
I live for the day a giant dinosaur.
Well, like in 2008 when we were, there was rape and pillage.
Right.
It's your kind of world. Floods.
Let's go across the Atlantic to France where Remy is on the line. Hey, Remy.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Great.
Hey, Andy, congratulations on your marathon.
Thank you for the marathon. I finish.
Eric, ça va bien?
Oui, ça va bien. Et vous?
Très bien, très bien. We have terrible weather here. It's pouring rain. I don't know how is it in Massachusetts, but.
It's going to rain sunny. Tonight, but it's beautiful
tonight.
Right
now.
Yeah,
yeah. Where are you in France?
In Lyon, in the Lyon. Region of Lyon. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What?
Lyon, L-Y-O-N.
Sierra Leone?
Not
that's
really.
Africa, right?
Yeah. It's also L-E-O-N.
Oh.
So what do you got?
I want to talk about the draft like everybody else. And Andy, I'm all in on this kid Buchanan. I think I like this hard-hitting safety presence next to McCourty. I think we need this guy in our defense. He's the missing piece. And I'd be really happy to see him.
If they draft a safety in the first round,
All
of a sudden you went from not a lot of depth to a ton of depth on this backfield.
Well, assuming he can play.
Well, yeah. Because
we drafted safeties shortly thereafter in the second round. But I will say, I did like Daniel Jeremiah, who is moving the sticks on Twitter. He's on NFL.com. He's a former scout. He tweeted out last night that there, I believe it was 5 safeties that should start from day one in this draft.
He's
and it
one
was
of them?
Pryor, Haha Dix, and Buchanan was next in line. He sees him as a day one starter, and certainly here, I think he would be a day one starter. And
it'd be pretty hard not to be.
Yeah, he'll be a bust if he's not a day one starter on some level.
Right.
But yeah, I love him. I want him. Bring him aboard. And we visited with him. If you remember, last week we talked about it. There were reports that we visited with him. So
yeah,
do it.
Also, Mettenberg, why not?
Mettenberger?
Well, because he's probably going to go at a point where the Patriots may not be in position to do it. A lot of talk now he's going to be like
moving
an early to mid second round pick.
Mm.
Maybe even a surprise late first round pick.
Oh,
be funny if he ended up being picked at 29, but by somebody else if they use that as a tool to trade down.
Yeah, I mean, if the Patriots do move down from 29, pick up extra picks, then they could get Mettenberger.
Well, if he doesn't go at 29.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah, I wouldn't be stunned if this is a draft where we trade down and then back up. Which Bill has done a number of times. You know, you trade out of 29, get some ammo, and then all of a sudden, I don't want to wait till where
use
are we,
the ammo
60,
to,
whatever,
yeah.
And you come back up to 35, 40, or whatever in there. So it could be interesting in that first, early, second round stages, even if we make some deals.
Yep.
Looking forward to it.
All right, Remy, thanks for calling from France. webradio@patriots.com is the email address, and Maxwell is wondering if the NFL schedule is going to be released today.
Not today.
Eric is saying,
"Well, we don't know for sure about anything.
Yeah,
we don't.
For all we know, they drop a bomb on us and the schedule's
out. It
wouldn't
be today because the teams would have been notified because they got to get their websites ready.
Right.
But Eric is saying no later than Thursday.
What are you saying? You run the website.
I'm saying last year it was the 25th.
No, but you just said teams would be notified.
Was
to get
it that
their
late
website
last
ready.
Year?
Yep. It was the 25th because of the Baltimore fiasco. They kept delaying it.
Have you been told to get the website ready?
I think it'll be Thursday.
Are we ready?
No.
Oh, so it's...
We don't have the schedule.
No. But you just said teams would be notified, and so you have not been notified.
So on the day that it happens, we get it. We really do get it at like 10 o'clock in the morning, and we're asked not to release it until like 4 or something like that. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, you need all the teams need time to get their websites ready, you know.
So, yeah, at this point we would have heard.
So that it can crash like it did during the preseason schedule release. CMS.
Let's see. I saw an interesting email.
Okay, yeah, find it. Yeah.
Mike.
Got a lot of emails. A lot that we didn't read last week either.
Really?
A sign that made me laugh yesterday
was... I
mean,
we did read emails, but we got a lot of emails that came in last
week. Yeah, we had a good show. We don't need you anymore. We used to need you to run the show. I don't think we need you anymore.
Okay.
We have Eric to slide into the host role, which he's very functional at.
Yeah.
Not going to say he's elite, but functional. And, you know, then Paul and I can just do our idiocy, and it worked out well.
Mike in Rhode Island, I've got a beef with Mr. Andy Hart. He can make fun of Eric's sex life or Paul's weight all he wants. He can crack jokes about Michael Sam or other controversial topics as he pleases. But when he makes fun of the great state of Rhode Island, that's where I draw the line.
Attaboy.
It seems every week Fathead has some shot to take at Little Rhodey, and I'm putting my foot down. The truth about Rhode Island is that it's a great state with plenty of things to do,
amen,
like drink Dells or go to the exquisite beaches. So there. And congratulations on completing the marathon. I heard that they're putting in a Dells in North Attleboro.
And you're excited?
Am I excited.
Oh. Just be careful when you bring some to camp for us. Don't go offering it to the other team's coach when they have joint
practices. Apparently it's
going to
be near one of my favorite restaurants there, Northworks. So... I eat there and then go have dessert at Dell's.
There goes the diet.
So,
does Dell's have a lot of sugar in it?
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Well, it's
no,
beyond the natural sugars of.
I think it's more. I think it's pretty simple. The formula.
Well, it's
the
proprietary.
Water. Yeah. Well, but it's
proprietary.
Basically, you know that it's water. It's lemons.
Sugar.
Lemon and some sugar. Yeah, I don't think
there's something like Paul makes fun of it. It's a
slush everywhere.
It isn't. It's different. It tastes different. It's something about the way they make it that it's different than a slush. You know, it's
essentially in that form, though. It's
yes.
in slush form,
sure it is.
Basically. But it tastes a lot better than most.
But I think it's a little less slushy.
But
isn't
you
it?
can't eat a slush.
Depends
like
depends if it's warm.
If you
or
know
not.
Dells, if you know Dells, you don't use a spoon. You bend the cup,
right?
And you drink it out of the cup. You can't do that with a slush.
Boy, do you overrate it. It's good. I'm not, but you make it seem like this. It is what it is.
Oh, come on.
Dells has a ceiling.
Steve in Killeen, Texas. Andy Hart, Boston Strong, brother.
Thank you.
Congrats on the finish. As I do the math, you were cruising at around 7 miles a minute.
Minute
mile. Well done.
That's not right.
That's
either,
go with that. Well done with the math.
Also, I'm going to confirm.
If you know his finishing time, then you can figure out that it wasn't.
I'm going to confirm with Kevin that I have the PFW cruise lunch covered for Thursday.
Are we doing lunch?
Last but not least, it's good to have the team back in-house and getting into football shape.
Indeed.
It is.
Especially with 12 in the house, 24 in the house. 36.
I ordered a sandwich.
You did?
Yeah.
When?
You know, when I was down here, I asked Kevin to get me
wow.
a sandwich. You never order anything, so why
Fried
today?
Fried Kirsch.
Why
There's
today?
An I in the middle of that, apparently.
Why today?
Because I don't have lunch, and I'm trying to refuel.
Oh, he's probably too late.
Yeah, probably. So some of us are just SOL.
He'll only eat half the sandwich anyway.
No,
so
he's been fat lately. I'll that diet went out the window.
Nick from Illinois, hello men of PFW. I really hope Fred is back, because sometimes when Eric is in charge, I feel like I'm listening to a special on the commercials of PFW in progress. Does Eric get a cut every time he takes a break?
Shut up.
Anyway, I have no idea if you guys have watched all the quarterbacks, but I've been hearing some rumblings online that the Patriots were interested in Tom Savage out of Pitt.
Yeah.
I know he's a fast-rising prospect, so I don't know if the reports of Patriots' interest are accurate, but I saw a tweet from Draft Scout Insider saying that some people in the organization were referring to him as Tom number two.
Oh, God.
Anyway, I just wanted to know your thoughts. I would tell you what I thought, but there's absolutely no way I'm going to watch YouTube highlights and then pretend that's indicative of the guy's actual talent.
And who, wait, who had the tweet?
Draft Scout Insider.
Who's that?
I don't know. Find out.
I'm going to look that up right now.
Anyway, keep up the fantastic work. And if you guys are having any events for the Colts, Vikings, or Packers game, please be sure to mention it on the show. Sometimes it's hard for those of us without Facebook to keep up with everything that's going on. Hey, Kevin. Andy, do you want to order something? They can come back.
It's too late now.
No, they can come back.
Yeah, I need food. Can you order me something?
Well, tell them what.
Where are we getting it from?
Omega's the fastest.
Yeah, give me Omega. Just give me Omega tuna sub, lettuce and pickles. You need my credit card? Do you want to get a sandwich for yourself? I'll finally pay off my debt. Oh, you snooze, you lose. I offered.
Already got lunch.
We've moved on. Sorry, I offered.
Mare says, Andy, you're my hero. The guy the Pats need is Teddy Bridgewater. He would be a perfect fit for the Patriots, and he's the heir apparent to the best QB in history.
Not.
No.
Now, if he slips, okay, second round.
Yeah, down
there.
Sell
me on it, but
I wouldn't go
first round. He
still
worries me.
Yeah.
He's tall, not tall. He looks frail. He literally reminds me of Darius Butler. I thought Darius Butler looked really frail, and Teddy Bridgewater looks the same to me. Just, I can't envision him
taking a hit,
standing tall in the pocket and getting hit and getting up and, you know, all these hits that Brady's taken over the years.
Well, that's the thing, too. We've gotten really spoiled. Packer fans were spoiled when Favre was there. Colts and now Broncos fans are spoiled with Manning. We're spoiled with Brady. These guys do take hits. It's not like they never get knocked on their ass. They take some big hits, and they get up, and they play, and they start every week. Yep. They don't miss games, these guys. And that's rare in this league.
It really is.
At that position.
LT from Adelaide, good day, men of PFW. My congratulations to Mr. Andy Jumbo Hart on his completion of the Boston Marathon. Next year, I expect to hear Paul and Fred training and participating in it. Well,
I wouldn't expect to
hate
hear
to dash your expectations, but there's no way. What are the pieces that are missing for the Patriots to win it all this year? In my opinion, they must obtain a number two receiving option behind Gronk, whether that be tight end or wide receiver, a good rotational pass rusher, and a hard-hitting strong safety. After that, the Patriots need overall depth. A quick game, would you rather for the first three picks, first round, Coney Ealy, Louis Nix, Rashid Hageman, Anthony Barr or Brandon Cooks?
Anthony Barr.
If Anthony Barr's available...
I'm madly in love with Anthony Barr.
I would take that because it's a position where they are a little deficient right now as far as just actual bodies at the linebacker position. I wouldn't just take any old linebacker, though, to add to the depth. If Anthony Barr were there, though, I think I would be tempted.
Okay, second round, Deion Buchanan, Jason Morrow, Jarvis Landry, Keith McGill, Martavis Bryant, or Brendan Coleman. Now, I don't know. Are we up on Brendan Coleman?
He's the big dude out of Rutgers.
Okay.
He's like a 6'6 receiver.
The receiver.
Now, who are the other? Bryant?
Deion Buchanan. Jason Morrow.
I don't need to listen anymore.
Yeah.
You like Buchanan.
It's Deion.
Deion. Yep.
Deion.
Deion.
Or Deion.
Don't confuse people.
Deion.
Deion.
Third round, Kevin Norwood, Adrian Hubbard, Dante McCreef, C.J. Fedorowicz or Andre Williams?
I'll take Fedorowicz.
I like Fedorowicz, too.
Okay.
And plus, you get the connection there,
remember. Glad he didn't go past the third round.
Yeah, because I was starting to get to the point where. Yeah. But you have the connection there, remember, with the Ferences, not just Brian. No, not just Kirk
but
also Brian, who was our tight ends coach here. So there's some carryover offensive line. He's a former offensive lineman, was here as an assistant offensive line coach, a tight ends coach. I mean, it's just all perfect for a tight end that can block everything. Boom.
That's been a forgotten, I think, pipeline school, Iowa.
Yeah.
Because
of Ferentz.
Yeah.
Andy from Tampa writes in, I listened to the podcast last week, and you guys were talking about the visits of draft prospects. I have a theory I've never heard anyone else mention. Maybe Coach Belichick is getting to know these players for when they come up for free agency in a few years. It's not like every player is going to stay with the team that drafts them. Perhaps he's laying the groundwork for 3, 4, 5 years down the line. Maybe he's trying to build rapport. Maybe he wants to see whom he may want to trade for by seeing what they're like as a person as well as a player. Each team is allowed 30 visits. Why not use them all?
I have a hard time believing he thinks that far ahead.
And the other flaw is if you're looking for the heir to Tom Brady, a franchise quarterback, if the guys are good, they're not reaching free agency.
Mm-hmm.
If they reach free agency, they're not good.
They're not that good.
So you probably won't get a chance to acquire them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bill doesn't even look in season from one game to the next.
I mean, really, it's just one day at a time.
So he's not thinking 3 years or 4 years down the road.
Rensis says, again, Stewie is wrong, meaning Andy. Fred isn't expendable. Maybe Paul is.
All right. Well, I certainly think Paul's expendable.
We'll take a break now.
Everybody but me is really expendable.
All right.
All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, a lot more emails, phone calls coming in. We got marathon. We got OTAs. We got the draft. We're talking about
schedule.
A lot of stuff here. Schedule. Eric will tell us again when he thinks it might come out.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved, with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
We all know PFW in Progress attracts, well, an eclectic audience.
Now, and I think it's different. Like, when I was at school, like, bullying for me, it was, you see these things called death runs. So my dormitories were like 40 people in a dormitory, and they basically used to line up with, like, clay pipes and hockey sticks and rugby boots. You didn't have to run down the middle and stuff like that.
Okay, go on.
There was one guy, I remember his name, Ollie Anlaw, who stood up and tried to sort of stand up to the bully. And they locked him in, like, a footlocker and threw him out the third floor window. So, we sort of stopped trying to stand up to people.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah, but there was like a hedge below. But, you know, my school was like...
Oh, it was fine. There was a hedge below.
And embracing cultural diversity.
My school was like... I always say it was a lot like Harry Potter, but instead of magic, we had anal rape.
Think you can be the next great caller in the PFW in Progress family? Give it a shot by dialing 855-PATS-500. Just try to have something intelligent to bring to the table.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Kevin's shaking his head.
His head because you weren't ready.
Well, usually I get the high sign.
What's the high sign?
You know, like 30 seconds or whatever.
He was giving you this.
He has never given you a 30-second warning.
Sure he does.
Kevin, do you give him 30-second warnings?
Well, I'll talk in your ear, but none of you have your headphones on, so that's no good.
Oh. Well.
And you're picking roast beef out of your
teeth. You can wave your arms.
It's flapping like a monkey.
Sure.
He did, because you're on.
Back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Patrick in Agawam says, Andy, Tom Savage is Brady number two. He's what great quarterbacks like Brady poop out. Okay?
I don't get it.
Kind of a joke. Somebody was saying,
number two.
Oh, he's literally crap. Okay, yeah, I get it now. Okay. I didn't for a minute, but now I get it.
Let's see. Seth writes in.
McFarland?
Let's somehow get 4 second round picks and pick. Oof.
You all right?
That was my roast beef sandwich. Let's somehow get 4 second round picks and pick up defensive end Kareem Martin, defensive tackle Dominic Easley, center Weston Richburg, and strong safety D1 Buchanan.
Day own. Are you doing it on purpose now?
What do you think?
I never know with you because you have no idea yourself.
And if Andy can make an opinion on wide receiver Martavis Bryant and safety Jimmy Ward.
I'm very much intrigued by Bryant. He was the other guy in Clemson's offense. Productive, but he's big and fast. He ran something ridiculous at the combine. Actually, our guy Rang probably has it. I'm scared that he's a tease, that he's really not that good, and he was in an offense and blah, blah, blah. But there's the other part of me that thinks he could be great when he becomes the primary target on a team. Who was the other one? Jimmy Ward?
Yeah.
I don't like him for our needs. He's smaller. I'm looking for a thumper, a guy who can cover but bigger.
But I was looking at the safeties. There's not a lot of big safeties out there.
It's a dying position.
Yeah.
It is a dying position. So if you find one like Dayon, who is over 6 feet, 210 pounds, and runs a sub 4.5, I take him.
I was looking at that guy from Ohio State, Shazier.
Well,
do you think he could ever
move
be made
him to
a safety?
Potentially.
Yeah.
There's been, we've seen that over the years. The guy that from Georgia went to the Panthers did it. It happens occasionally, but it's a risky proposition.
It is, because of the coverage.
Speed, but having the athleticism to be... You know, think about the Patrick Chung play in the Super Bowl. He's a half a second late. It's a big play in a Super Bowl and a catch down the sideline. Well, he's a safety all his life. He's been making that, you know, getting from the middle of the field to the side. Now you're asking a guy who's been a linebacker making plays in a smaller area to cover, you know, sideline to side. It happens, but it's a rare and extreme case.
Mike in South Dakota, first, congratulations on Andy.
Thank you.
I was happy to hear Dobson was at the OTA. Maybe he won't miss as much as people have been thinking. I think Dobson is under considerably less pressure than Amendola. They find a receiver they think can help us win more than him, I can see them taking the cap. Oh, so if they find somebody they think can help more than Amendola, he sees them taking the cap hit.
Well, if they drafted a player and decided to move on, it's not a significant cap hit because now you're paying, a second-round pick, peanuts. You're paying good money for Amendola, but it's not all that much additional money.
Right.
It's just wasted dead money on the cap.
I'm going to be stunned if they let him go.
I will be, too, and I also don't really agree. I think Amendola, some people have just resigned themselves to he is what he is. He's an injury-prone, type player. Dobson, I think a lot of people are expecting, how many times have we heard, Alshon Jeffrey, look at his numbers in a rookie, and he broke out and had a great... I think people think he's going to be...
He has pressure on him.
80 catches, 1,000 yards, playmaker, touchdowns.
And it doesn't help that he's coming off this foot surgery.
And he may have been here. He's not... not go.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Just because you're in the building doesn't mean you're...
All they're doing is lifting weights and conditioning.
But I'm not sure he's doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he's doing some upper body work. My belief is he's probably in a boot right now.
Glenn from Natick, I've only been a listener for a few years, so I'm not sure if Andy and Paul have done a pre-draft film review for Tom Brady. If not, don't you think it'd be a nice exercise if you could at least try to look at it without preconception? I would very much like to know how you would stack him up against the current crop of QB prospects you've reviewed.
He'd be a mid-tier. He'd be in the A.J. McCarron mold, a winner,
yeah.
A guy who's, did some things, but physically isn't all that overwhelming. Now, the one thing he had was the height, which I tend to fall in love with. I'm always in for the guys that are 6'4", 6'5". Did not have the strong arm necessarily, but, this is a guy that had a record-type career at times at Michigan. People lose the fact that he was great and put up great numbers in big games. Now, people are going to go, if you did that now, he's a winner, so you call... No. He was a playmaker there, bowl records and those types of things at Michigan. He's not quite the out of nowhere, long shot that people try to make him out to be just based on his draft status.
What I think set him back more than anything was Drew Henson.
Well, yeah.
I think that.
Drew Henson was the celebrated
guy. Well, yeah, but the fact that Michigan decided to do the platooning thing.
Well, it was Lloyd Carr that held him back.
Yeah, but Lloyd Carr, because he got a local kid like Drew Henson and decided, I have to play this kid. That hurt him more than anything because the knock against Brady was, well, if he's so great, how come he couldn't maintain the starting job at Michigan?
Right.
That's why he fell.
He did nothing to lose the starting job.
No.
No.
And if you go back, look in the Michigan record books and bowl game record books, you'll find Tom Brady's name. It's not like he was just this under-the-radar nobody who came out, that story. And I think Brady helps to perpetuate it. I think he enjoys that story. Sure. It's a little bit of a chip on his shoulder and all that. And, the Brady six. I'm going to go for a walk with my baseball bat.
Glenn also says, Andy, congratulations on completing the marathon. I think I saw you when you passed by Natick, the mile 8 mark. And I wanted to shout, go big head, but I got shy.
Why? That's the day to do it. Some guy had a sign that said, Go Nads, which made me laugh out loud.
Lastly, I'd like to give a shout-out to my office mate, Oleg, who introduced me to your podcast a few years back.
Well, thank you, Oleg.
All right.
Do you know Olaf, the snowman from Frozen? Oleg.
Do you play O-line?
That's probably a Scandinavian
name, type
right?
name, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you just call me?
Yeah, sure. For sure.
Michelle, who loves it when I call her Shalada, says, congratulations to Andy. Well done.
Thank you.
Pretend I'm a Make-A-Wish kid and get Mankins in the studio. He's by far my favorite player. I'll be donning his jerseys next year, home, away, and throwback. And seeing Revis in a Patriot t-shirt gave me a lady boner.
Oh,
way. Hey, wow.
Wow. Hey, what's wrong with
Charlotta?
That?
Charlotta. Oh, by the way, speaking of players on the show, we're supposedly getting one on Thursday.
We are?
Yes, that was news right before we came down here. I forgot to tell you. PR came over and announced that we
can you give me the digits on your hands so that we don't... Oh.
So,
that's
a starter.
A
starter.
It's a good get.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I got some questions for him. I'm ready.
Sure.
Matthew Slater, we should mention, was actually speaking to the rest of the media today. Obviously,
yes.
we talked to him last week.
Right.
But he's actually doing the gangbang media hit today. He did it at about noon, so there's probably some things trickling out via Twitter and blogs.
RJ in Vegas is writing about, did you guys have some religious guy on the show
last
week?
Yeah. Oh, God. First caller on Thursday.
Born again or something.
He says, thank you for keeping it light. You're a lot nicer than I would have been. Last time I checked, PFW isn't a pulpit for born-again Christians or any other religious types to proselytize.
To be fair, I asked Matthew Slater about his faith and the team faith in the previous podcast, the interview I did with him. And who was the guy?
Well, it was also Holy Thursday, and we started the show talking
about... Oh, the Triudidad.
The Triduum.
The Triduum. Fred, yes. Have you ever heard of a Triduum?
No, it's one of those Latin things.
It's the three holy days.
It's a Latin
days.
Word, but it's the three holy days leading up to Easter.
I'm still going with, I could ask the damn Pope about a Triduum, and he would not have heard the term.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
By the way...
No. We don't need to hear your views on the Pope.
No, I wasn't going to talk about the Pope. I was going to say that there's some math that's a little fuzzy with Easter.
You know what's a little fuzzy? The whole damn story.
No, but I mean, it is. Good Friday.
That's called faith, Eric.
Yes, I
faith
know.
Is
I know.
Believing in something that you don't really have the perfect reason to believe.
Right,
in.
I do believe in the something.
Okay, well, stop calculating your math. Maybe it was a leap year.
No, it wasn't a leap year.
Well, you don't know that.
No, but even if it was a leap year, he dies on a Friday. By Sunday morning, he's resurrected. That's not 3 days. That's a day and a half, because he died supposedly 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday. And by Sunday morning at dawn, when the women came to the tomb, he was already gone.
What time zone was he in? Maybe he was traveling.
Well, so there's something they can't explain
it's
there.
It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
But that's not 3 days.
That's what bothers you about this whole damn story?
It's not 72 hours.
No, but the heart of it, that people just accept
about the
blindly.
Sucker who came home and his wife said, I'm pregnant.
If that's
but
all
no, it was immaculate. Yeah, I haven't been cheating.
If that's all you're questioning, then, you know.
That's not all I'm questioning. I'm just saying that's
what you pick, though?
It just happened the other day. That's why we had the Good
so
Friday
go
and Easter Sunday.
Priest or
I did, and he had no answer for me.
That's
he just blindly accepted
well,
it.
Well, I mean, all of it, like even Christmas, that's not necessarily the day that Jesus was born. It's
no,
just,
but
they chose that day to
there
celebrate
are other
it.
Examples in the Bible of things happening over the course of a day, like God creating the earth in 6 days and then taking the seventh off. There's day turns into night, that the whole daytime, the
right.
whole
maybe
concept
the calendar
of a day,
was different back then.
It wasn't because...
Did they use 24 hours as a day? Maybe they didn't. Maybe a day was only 18 hours back then.
Or maybe a day
maybe
was
it was business
years.
Days. Mail doesn't come on Saturdays.
Business days.
You know, it's,
we'll be resurrected
I'll
on
have
next
the Lions done by
Jesus
EOP.
Jesus will be back in 3 to 5 business days.
I mean, this is what you choose to not, like, to question.
I'll have
there are plenty of things I question, but I'm just
EOP.
Saying. The fact that we just had Good Friday and Easter brought that up in my mind.
There
are plenty
that.
Of other things that I question, obviously.
I hope.
Good
well,
Lord.
Not necessarily. I mean, someone can have...
No,
know,
but
just...
it's a little weird that's... I mean, that's Andy-like. He believes everything. All
I don't
the way
believe everything.
And then all of a sudden...
Wait a minute. Time out. I never, ever in my life said I believe in everything.
Well, that's what he does.
Ever.
That's what he does.
I know that's what
and
he does.
So you're not a believer?
Now you're arguing that instead of the other discussion.
Exactly.
Right. So you're not
exactly.
a believer?
I believe in something. I don't believe in all of the church's doctrine and dogma. No.
I believe that I have
anybody
no
with a brain
clue.
In their head right. should have their own
but,
way
but
of
isn't
thinking.
That faith? You're not supposed to have,
I have
to
faith,
tap into your brain.
I have faith in something.
Me too.
I don't need to be told what to have faith
so
in.
So why do you go to church then?
Because I like it. I like aspects of
but
it.
But couldn't you?
I like the community was, feel. I like things about it.
A lot of people
it.
Like that. Yeah.
I don't have to believe everything that they tell me. I have my own brain. I can think.
But
I can reason.
But then couldn't you just sort of...
Pick and choose.
No, but couldn't you kind of...
Well, there are those. They call them cafeteria Catholics.
Right.
Pursue on your own time. Like, you don't even need to go to church. It could just be between you and your
he said
God.
He liked the
I do that, but I like aspects of going to Mass. I don't necessarily believe in all of the stuff that they do there, but I like aspects of it. And it's a very peaceful time. I like the community aspect. I like the music aspect. I just like that it's a nice time of day. You can go there for an hour and know that nothing bad is going to happen to you. It's
the music aspect intrigues me. I'd like to go to one of those like Southern Black churches where it's very loud
lively,
and interactive,
loud,
and
yeah.
I think that would be fun.
Let's see.
Fred just waved it off.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
But yes, we did have a caller who.
Yeah, he was very. It was like within a year he was a born again.
Yeah,
Christian.
And he used the Matthew Slater as the. He was mad at Matthew Slater. Basically, didn't think Matthew Slater beat us over the head enough with his own faith. this is the kind of guy that certainly, although he did admit he found Tim Tebow a bit much. So apparently he's never happy. Right. You can't have both. And I was fine with Slater. I appreciate those that express their faith but don't necessarily have to beat you over the head with it.
And I'm sorry I brought it up. Barry in the OC writes in, speaking of the schedule release, I'd like to provide lunch for you guys on the first show following the schedule release, whether it is Thursday or the week or the next week, on behalf of the Patriots tailgate, which listeners can join on Facebook if they're interested in attending any Patriots road games. In fact, we can probably go ahead and make this an annual tradition.
I like it.
I like that. I like having the schedule. We can have Barry on, and he can talk about what might be going on for each of those games.
Because we already had some requests.
There was a guy last week, a listener from Chicago, who said for all the Midwest fans, there's Indianapolis, Green Bay, and Minnesota that are close enough to the Chicago
and
area.
Green Bay, I got to think, is a good option this year.
Oh, absolutely.
A very historic, important, potentially prime time.
December when it's snowing.
Well, you know,
just
that's the unfortunate
mentally
part.
Prepare yourself for that.
That's the unfortunate part.
All right, let's get back to the phones. Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
You know me.
Hey, so how y'all doing?
Good.
What's up?
Nothing much. Just laughing at y'all as usual.
Well, thanks.
Just a good laugh.
Likewise.
Hey, a couple questions, Andy.
Yes.
Besides day one or day on or whatever you want to call them, what other safety would you target?
Pryor and Dixon. I mean, Pryor, by all accounts, is probably going to be a first-round pick, but he has a lot of the same size, speed, athletic ability type that Buchanan brings to the table. And Ahmad Dixon is a similar type talent. He would be in my group, and I think Jeremiah may have included him into the guys that could be a starter from day one in the NFL. Those are the three second round-ish or higher that I think could come in here and really be a force at that safety spot.
Okay, so you don't think, I read up on it yesterday, I've got to write the guys, write the people's name down, but the fourth or fifth round, a couple of those guys, they got the same issues as the young. They're good hitters, they got a little more speed, but they have hard time covering. And that Dowling guy, they say he's a character issue. And they can go as a fifth or seventh round.
Yeah, he's a little skinnier, a little leaner. He's kind of almost like a Brandon Browner build, a little taller and skinnier, but is that mid-4 type 40. Another guy I forgot about was Ed Reynolds, the kid out of Stanford, is a similar size, speed type guy, over 6 feet, 210. There's one guy that I'm intrigued by, too, is not talked about a lot, but Deion Bailey out of USC. Actually started for them at linebacker in a kind of a hybrid role, led the team in tackles, then bumped back to safety and was a very effective player. So, you know, as we look for these hybrid type players that are, you know, can hit, can cover, can move, you know, be the money guy in the various sub packages, he'd be a name I'd keep an eye on too.
All right. Thanks, Eldridge. Let's go to Atlanta. Joel's on the line. Hey, Joel.
Hey, Fred. What's going on? Andy, Paul, Eric.
Paul's not here, but hello. Oh,
hello. Oh,
Paul's not there?
No, he's taking the week off.
He's drinking Miller Lite on Myrtle Beach right now. So any whale sightings out of the East Coast, you'll know why.
Well, Andy, I mean, you must have great conditioning because for you to bounce back that quickly after the marathon, that's pretty good.
Okay, I'll go with it. I wouldn't say I've necessarily bounced back yet, but I'm here. So, yeah, I'm really sore, and last night sleeping was a real bitch.
Well, did you hear about Adam Scheffner? Horrible marathon experience.
No, he ran it this year.
No, not this year, but I think it was a few years ago. He said he had to be put in the hospital. He had like some type of kidney, liver, or something. Something was going on with his inside.
Yeah, well,
he ran the marathon.
That can happen to anyone. I mean, a lot of people who even do all the training and everything have issues. When you never know what's going to hit when you get out there. And I do think it's kind of funny that you do a 20-mile training run, so you're only running 6 more miles, which doesn't sound like a lot, but the energy of the day, the heat, the various factors, you know, you can be prepared theoretically and then have a bad experience. So I had a bad experience, but one that I was able to plug through.
Well, that's good. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Well, see, my question is there any chance that the NFL would change the draft back to April? And the reason why I say this is because during the NFL draft, it's the week of my anniversary, and that's how I remember my
anniversary.
No, so, I think you're stuck in May for the foreseeable future.
I hope not, man, because waiting this long for, you know, football, I don't think a lot of us fans can't do it much longer.
Well, don't worry, because they're going to push free agency back at some point, I think, and then that'll give you a little later free agency start, and everything's moving.
Plus, my idea in this edition of PFW might help you.
Yes, so go go pick up an issue of PFW or sign up for Patriots Football Daily so you can read Fred's edit letter. I, too, am looking forward to see what this idea is.
I just perused
is.
It a little bit. It's not bad.
Okay.
Not right. bad. Okay.
So you got Eric with you.
I have one other question. One other question. Guys, y'all probably don't remember the guy that mentioned.
Immaculate.
But this is Joe from Atlanta, the most hated PFW
yes.
fan.
We remember you. You have left a mark. Your goal was to leave a mark, and you have left one.
Well,
kind of like the mark in my underwear.
Andy, this is a kid's show. Anyway, no, but guys, I've been listening, every Tuesday and Thursday, but it's been rough trying to call in, you know, since my schedule changed. But, Fred, do you remember when you screamed at me? It was towards the end of the season about the Patriots going 15-1 with Revis, with Browner. With LaFell, with Wilford coming back, Brunk, if once he gets back healthy, who else do we have?
They got a lot of players, but okay.
Brady,
what's your point?
Brady.
Do I think that they'll go 15-1 this year?
Right. Looking at the teams that we have to play, you don't think the Patriots could go 15-1 and maybe lose that one game to Denver?
They could. But I doubt it. It's really hard to do that, you know. Yeah.
So at the Packers is we're just saying that's a win,
right?
Well, you got to think about it like this. Look at the teams during the offseason that has picked up, good players: Patriots, Denver. Let's see who else. I'll put the Jets in there too. You know, they did go after Chris Johnson. Then you look at the other teams that did not do much of a splash as far as with free agency. You have Green Bay, you have Dallas because they didn't have any money. You also have Miami Dolphins and all the rest of the team.
But Joe, I'll just stop you there because, I mean, other than 07, obviously they went undefeated during the regular season. Every year there's at least one and more likely two games where they just don't play well. And a lot of times it's not always to a better opponent. They just don't play well. Based on history, you have to count on that happening at least once or twice during the course of the year, and then you add in the tough teams, you know, that, you know, you hope to go 500 on or you know, have a winning record, but you can't count on winning all of them. That's why 15-1 is really, really hard.
Yeah, it might be really hard, but, you know, come on, Fred. I've been on Revis Island for a month. Give me a break.
No, hey, look, could it happen? Yes. There is hope that it's happened. So you go into this season hoping for the best, and there is reason for that. But, you know, realistically, if you're thinking if they don't go 15-1, then they didn't live up to expectations. That's not fair.
Not necessarily. I think if we don't win the Super Bowl, that'd be a different story.
Well, even that's pretty tough, too.
Well, but also, I mean, beyond just the number of it, the 15-1 type thing could be an issue because, you know, I still believe you play that Denver game in New England in the playoffs. You got a chance to get some wind. You got a chance to have some help against Peyton Manning. Right. So if you go 15-1, there's a good chance that potential AFC title game rematch is in New England. That's huge. Right. So it's not just the number. Oh, we want to go 15-1. It's closing the gap and passing the Broncos so that you have a better chance in the postseason because, you know, looking at the talent and the moves, I still think the Broncos are ahead of us because they kicked your ass last January in Denver.
I agree, Andy. And one last thing before I go. Andy, I know some great Baptist churches in Boston that you would love. I know you say you want to go to, like, a black church, and I know a few. I don't know if you like to go visit, like, Dorchester or Roxbury. I do know a few churches that you would definitely enjoy yourself.
Well, the only thing I would worry, like, I have that
that
vision of, like, in a movie where you walk in and the music just stops and everybody turns and looks, and I'm like,
right.
Okay, guys. I'm not looking to get beat up or have any issues where, you know, I'm an outsider.
You'd get beat up at a church.
You'd be fine.
Don't you think that'd be cool, though, to go to one of those interactive churches?
No, not at all.
Why? Wow, Mr. Fuddy Dud. Why not at all?
I'm not interested.
Why?
I don't like gospel music. I'm not into it.
Thank you, Kevin.
You know?
Doesn't it seem like they're having just the best time?
Yes, they are.
But you wouldn't.
Good for them. I'm not into it. Hmm? I'd rather be out mowing the lawn. Yeah, seriously.
Wow.
Dave in Connecticut.
He doesn't know what he's missing.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Good.
You know.
Here's my question to you guys. And I'm not saying this scenario is going to happen.
Yep.
But let's hypothetically say the Patriots' number one guy at safety, number one guy at D-line, and number one guy at tight end, all four to them at 29. What do you think they're going to go? What direction would you say they should go?
Tight end, safety, and D-line, all fault.
Yeah,
the guys that you think are the best in those positions are available at 29.
The number one guy on that.
So, in other words, who's the biggest need?
That, you know, all three positions.
What's the biggest need?
Tight end, safety, and what was the third one?
Defensive line, defensive end.
And tight end.
And tight end. So, four.
It might be D-line.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's hard to say.
Like a replacement for Wolfel, kind of, sort of?
Well, no, I'm not really thinking of that. I'm thinking like the end.
I think both spots.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've talked about
the
this.
And tackle.
I guess you're kidding.
Yeah. I think, I think that both positions need to be addressed. And I think, from what I read and what I, see on the NFL Network and hear from you guys, they're strong drafts. So I think we should be able to pick up within our eight draft picks, we should be able to get a lot of needs out of the way. Guys.
Well,
yeah, there's a lot of people that believe starters
call,
are going to be drafted in the mid rounds. I will say, we did our PFW mock draft, and we took D Ford out of Auburn as sort of how things unfolded. And I'm not sure
right.
that
I'd
he's
right
great,
that, though.
But the way it unfolded, it was, he was the pick. A lot of guys that, you know, we might have interest in were sort of off the board already.
And that's the other thing. You can't control what the other teams
pick. No, and you never know.
Right.
This is an up in the air draft.
Right.
You know, the first pick is up in the air right now.
Yes.
No one knows definitively who
And I like that. And I hope that the Texans don't declare before the draft so that, you go in and you already know who's going number
and
one.
And if you don't have the number one pick, then literally every mock draft could be, gone, wrong.
Yep.
Like last year with Eric Fisher. Mm-hmm. Everyone had Luke Jokel guarantee going to the Chiefs. That screwed up everybody's draft board when Eric Fisher got taken.
Yep.
Including the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Michael writes in from Columbus, Mr. Draft. I assume that's Andy, but I'm not sure.
No assuming necessary.
What do you think about Dree Archer running back out of Kent in the third or fourth round? He timed fast at the combine, and in his highlights, it seems to translate on the field.
He needs to chew first and then.
He's just so
Andy's
small.
Andy's eating.
So small.
Yeah.
He's an intriguing
He's
athlete.
He's like 5'7".
Oh, tiny.
Yeah.
160 maybe, something, some low number.
He's even smaller than Jeff Demps.
He is an intriguing athlete, though. You know, I think he was – there's some discrepancy as to what people are going to use him as, a receiver, a running back.
Slot Trevon Holiday?
Small. You know, maybe as a return man. He's certainly a great athlete and exciting with the ball in his hands. And we've seen them go to Kent State for an athlete who was good with the ball in his hands before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't think they – he's – again, small. They scare the hell out of me.
Yeah.
You have to be so special when you're that small
right.
to really get bang for your buck. He'd be a fun guy to watch practice, though, and take the field.
Dylan writes in, first, congrats, Andy. He must have felt great to cross the line this year. It did. He hasn't stopped talking about it all morning. It's great. You know?
Good guy.
No, he's excited. I can tell.
He should be. You know, you cross something off your bucket list, you're not allowed to talk about it. He doesn't want to go have fun in a church.
Did I say you weren't allowed to? You've been excited about it, and that's great. I'm so bored.
Well, it was, a 2-year and like 52-mile proposition to get to the finish line for me.
Sure.
Thanks to those,
dummies.
I was going to say dip you-know-whats.
I'm so bored with the draft coverage, I want to ask you all to hypothesize on how Brady will be replaced in a couple years. There's loads of different possibilities. Will he be flat beat out by his replacement in the next few years?
No.
Will they draft his heir apparent and
possibly
have him study behind Tom for a year, and Brady retires into the sunset? Does Bill do the unthinkable and trade Brady down the line for all of Oakland's future first-rounders? I think it's an interesting topic to think about. What are your thoughts?
I think the second one is the most likely scenario. they draft a player, maybe not this year, but in the next year or two. He sits for a year or two. Brady finishes out this deal, retires. The young guy is now in his second or third year, and he takes over.
I could envision some road bumps, though, where Brady doesn't want to be done.
Yeah.
Well. And I'm not going to say it's going to reach Farvian levels, but, you know, what if 3 years from now, they've drafted a guy this year, next year, they have camp, and Belichick goes, it's time.
Well,
he's better.
Brady opened up a new sports performance
TB12.
And what better marketing promotion for it than to have the guy whose company is play beyond what people expect him to in terms of age?
But we know
my methods help me play into my 40s.
And don't you think Bill would I think there's a chance Bill will have a sharp sword and just cut it off. And the off, I mean, Brady.
I do too.
So, I mean, look at the Matt Castle thing. When he didn't want Brady around, he had, you know, there were quarterbacks scheduled to come in and visit. They sent them all home because it's Matt Castle. I have to be all in on Castle. This is his team. If 2 or 3 years from now, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is just flat out ready, I could see Bill saying, I need to get rid of Brady. He is the distract. I can't have him around. So cut him, trade him, whatever. And that could be an issue for Brady because he may not be done. He doesn't want to retire.
Unless Bill decides he wants to retire.
There's a lot of great players.
And then
players.
He just says, whatever. I'll stick it out with Brady, and then that's the next guy.
There's
problem.
A lot of great players in all sports who people thought would never be traded, and they got traded.
And I could see Brady not being ready to step away, even though he may think I'll probably never, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not done. You're done with me, but I'm not done.
I think most people thought Bledsoe would never be traded. Or gotten rid of from here.
Right. You know, especially in 2000, he signed that new contract, 100 million, whatever it was. And,
And let's not forget, he was the greatest quarterback to play in Patriots history.
Absolutely.
To that point.
Absolutely. You know, it was unthinkable someone would come in and take his job. But it happened.
Owe thanks to Mo Lewis every day.
Colin Waterloo, I've heard the question on the 3 days between Good Friday and Easter, and here's the answer. Jesus died on Friday, and his followers got him in the tomb, buried before 6 p.m. on Friday. The Jewish day begins at sundown, so his first day in the tomb was only a few hours, then Saturday, and he rose from the dead on Sunday. So,
You're not buying it? I'm not buying it.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense either, because then the other day on Sunday doesn't start till sundown either, so you're still,
you're still
short
off.
A day.
Still off.
Yeah. But that's the least of your problems.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But I'm just saying. it's a big one, though. People just blindly accept these things.
Well, that's the idea
of themselves.
Faith.
Right, that's faith.
You can have faith without...
Yeah.
Never mind.
So what would you have said to Mary?
Which Mary?
You out, bitch.
Which Mary?
Mama Mary, who, you know, was immaculately impregnated.
Well, Joseph originally was... out of his mind, was going to leave her,
as
and
he
then had
have
the
been.
Dream, and the angel came to him in the dream and said, no, she's telling the truth. And he stayed with her. So he had a visitation.
So he's a sucker.
Well, who knows?
And his wife's a blocker.
What?
Well, well, I don't want... it's a fascinating subject. It really is. It's not one for the show, but...
Of course it is. It's been talked about for 2,000
years. Yeah, I mean, he's one of the greatest historical... figures of all time, you know, and it's. I read a book that a lot of Christians are really up in arms against. It's called Zealot. It's a bestseller now, and this guy, you know, looked at Jesus's life from a historical, purely historical perspective. You know, just the facts that we know, and it's really, really interesting. You know, to look at it that way.
There's also, I mean, one of the biggest mysteries is how come there's nothing written about him from the time he's like 12 or 13 until 30.
Right.
There's a huge gap of about 12 years where we don't know what the hell happened to him.
And, you know, people think that he was, you know, basically a pauper. He really wasn't. Joseph was a really renowned carpenter who did, you know, really good work for a lot of rich people and was paid really well. And you know, so... Well, according to this book that I read, you know.
The Zealot?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who wrote it?
I forget the
guy. Like a religious
name.
Scholar? Or
he is. He's a, I don't know if it's a Columbia, but he's a religious scholar, but he's a Muslim. So a lot of people don't like the fact that a Muslim wrote this book.
See, that
Yeah.
That's the other thing I have problems with.
Yeah. He's just interested in religion, period.
Right. You can be interested in religion and have a certain faith, but...
It's the world we live in, though. It's politics. You either have to be a Democrat or a Republican, and you can't write about issues without your, you know, here. It's Brady and Bledsoe. You know, one guy has to suck. Well, he's better, but...
Right. You can't say...
You have to fall into
in
a
that
camp.
Debate, you couldn't say anything good about Bledsoe without it being bad about Brady.
You have to be a liberal or a conservative. Right. You have to be a... How about we just look at things and I'm allowed to have different opinions based on different things?
Right.
Circumstances.
Be pragmatic.
Exactly.
Scott writes in, I know that Paul hates, and I should finish there, centers, but I get a little tired of seeing nose tackles and big defensive tackles from Denver and Baltimore blow up Ryan Wendell's and Dan Connolly's when they blitz, and it's a one-on-one train wreck as those other teams are wont to do. Brady has more, I need glasses. You know, his print is actually pretty small, and I'm having trouble.
I thought you had a subscription.
I do. I have to pick him up. Brady has
prescription, I should say. You don't have you have a subscription.
I have a subscription to PFW. Helps me read. Brady has more trouble with the pocket collapsing in the middle and in the playoffs. That is where they get him generally. With that said, where was your review of Marcus Martin, since most draft sites have him as going anywhere from 1 to 3 among centers?
Among centers,
I probably should have brought my sheets. I'm not Mel Kiper, and I cannot speak fluently. Or
one of the positions we normally disregard.
Well, I don't disregard
not
it, but
disregard,
I don't.
But you don't put as much effort into it.
You know,
is the O line
appoint it to memory so that I know every center.
And I don't think they're going to be if they're going to be drafting a player. They just re-signed their veteran center. They have a guy like. I mean, I don't know if he can play center, but, you know, they have guys like Josh Klein who they get as undrafted rookies who come in and start some games.
I mean, when was the last time?
I don't think you really need to be wasting draft picks on.
They've had Conley. They've had Nick McDonald. They've had Wendell.
Mm-hmm.
They've had Hochstein.
Yep.
They had Copen as a fifth-round pick.
Yep.
I mean, Woody would be the last time they invested, and that's not even them. That was 98?
Right.
99? 98?
Pete Carroll.
So they haven't really invested in the center. Now, I'm not saying, again, you can always find a guard and then he takes a first-round guard, but they certainly haven't really invested in a center very, very often.
Someone who calls himself Eclipse from Niagara Falls, Canada. What's up, boys? Are you as disappointed in Chandler Jones' production as I am?
No.
I was very excited to see Coach trade up to grab him in the draft, but he just hasn't seemed to be as dominant a force rushing the passer as I had hoped. If you could have any defensive end in the league, who would it be?
Is he really asking me that? I mean, is this his first time listening to the show?
I know. He named one of his testicles after the guy.
Right.
Quinning.
Right. But the first question, are you disappointed in his production, Chandler Jones?
No. Well, yes, but not like...
He's trending in the right
he's
direction.
He's going in
it's
the right
not
direction.
As fast
it didn't
as,
blow yeah. up, and I agree. Right. He doesn't dominate. We have yet to see him dominate a tackle, a game, just really take over and be unblockable. And
he might never be that.
He might not be. Doesn't mean
but
he's not a good player.
Yeah, if he can get double-digit sacks every year, that's going to be helpful.
And, the more you surround him, maybe when he is not playing with Joe Villano and Chris Jones, I thought he looked pretty good with Tommy Kelly in the preseason and early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there might be something there with those two. You put a guy other than Ninkovich on the other side. If they draft a D Ford or a Coney Ealy, maybe that gives a boost to him. You put a Jamie Collins regularly behind him and he's in the mix athletically and you do some different things. You put a Anthony Barr if he slipped and you dream about it. Yes, there is focus on Chandler Jones. Yes, they traded up. Yes, he was the pass rusher that everybody wanted. But you got to be fair, too, and give him time to develop and see where he goes in year 3 and all that.
AJ in Scotland writes in, living in Scotland, there is very little off-season talk here, so I download your podcast to get my off-season fill. However, it does make me miss football. Having followed the Patriots since 2006, I only discovered your shows around week 2 of the season just passed with the pregame shows, but haven't missed a single broadcast since. I wanted to ask you if you guys, if it's worth staying up into the early hours of the morning on draft day one
no.
with a final year university dissertation deadline the following Monday,
no.
as I have the feeling Bill will be Bill and draft out of the first round due to the depth that is apparently present in the draft. Do you think that is likely?
Yes. I wouldn't stay up if I were you.
Yeah, I forget who, some expert that I was reading, and I don't know if it was Peter King, said, matter-of-factly, the Patriots are trading out of the first round.
I think there's a good chance of that.
Yeah.
Given the depth of the draft, given the new age contracts and having to give that fifth-year option, I don't know that they're looking to make a pick at 29 when they feel like they can get similar value or whatever, you know, mid-30s, late-30s, whatever.
Okay.
So if my educational career were on the line and I was many time zones away and it was a pain in the ass, I would not stay up. You can find out that they traded the next day, or even if they pick. Okay, so they picked. Doesn't really change your life. It's new to you.
Yeah, but our show's good.
Our show is very good. It's also a podcast. You can listen later.
That's true. But there's something about it in the moment.
No question. When you drop F-bombs in the moment, it is very entertaining.
Right.
But I also want this guy to do well in life and close out his collegiate career.
Todd is on the Ace Ticket Hotline calling from Toronto. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Fred. You know, you weren't here the other day. I called and let the boys know that I just got over cancer, but listening to you on the radio, man, it's coming back.
Screw you, Todd.
Come on, Fred. Relax a little bit. You're just on the whole show. My God, man. Chill.
Chill out, Fred.
What? What am I? Do you think that I'm upset about something or what?
I just think there's some sand in your jock, but that's okay.
About what? About what?
I don't know. It seems that anything anyone brings up, there's a little bit of that sand grinding.
Oh, so you think I'm being,
cantankerous.
Yeah. A little bit argumentative.
Well done.
Hello?
No, I said extremely.
Extremely cantankerous.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Exactly. He didn't say a little. He said extremely.
Oh, I'll buy that. Maybe I am doing that. Yeah. Paul not here. I got to do something.
Yeah, somebody's going to be the a-hole.
Right.
Okay, Fred.
Okay, Todd.
We did cure cancer, though, while you were gone.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm much appreciative of that.
That's great.
He's still cranky because it was a thyroid issue and he can't eat and drink what he wants, but...
No booze, no coffee.
Well...
No chocolate.
For now. I have hope that one day you'll be able to do that again.
And you can have sex, right?
Keep listening. We'll get the chocolate in.
Well, see, as long as you have sex, you're fine.
Yeah. So my question is, when we were talking about the wins losses and the guy was going 15-1, I want
Eric,
you to pick four teams that you think the Patriots can't beat this year.
Four teams the Patriots can't beat.
I won't
this
be
year.
Able to go four deep. First of all, zero.
Wait a minute.
Right.
Four teams they can't?
Cannot beat.
Now I could give you
like
four
are
teams
unable to?
They could lose
correct.
Two.
Correct.
Well then none.
Yeah, nobody. This is the NFL.
Right. W against.
None. They could get a win against every team they play. The Denver Broncos are coming to New England. That's good for them.
Right.
Yep.
You know, if you want me to give you the list of teams that are formidable opponents, certainly Denver, certainly Cincinnati at home games. I think at Green Bay is definitely a losable game with Aaron Rodgers and everything that they bring to the table.
Yep.
Colts?
San Diego?
Sure, Colts game.
Yeah.
At
the Colts.
Yeah.
You know, at San Diego to me is a losable.
They're all
game.
Losable. They're all winnable.
Well, yeah. No, I don't think they're all losable. They're all winnable, but
why not?
Well,
I don't think they're going to lose to the Bills twice.
Well, you don't think so, but
it's not losable.
It could happen.
Both Bills games are not losable. They're not. And if you lose one of them, there's no way in hell you're losing the second, despite what Brandon Spikes thinks. So neither Bills game is really losable.
But individually, looking at each
game. No, they're not losable. Neither of the Bills games are losable.
Oh, I don't know about that.
They're not.
Well, okay.
You don't lose to the Bills. You just don't do it.
All right.
Twice in 27 games or whatever. You're 25-2.
So twice they did.
Over a 10-year span. It's ridiculous.
So it could be three over 12
years. So it's not losable. You lost it, but it wasn't losable.
Okay. All right. It's not likely to be lost, for sure.
There you go.
And the reason I ask that is the follow-up. Where in the standings are they going to be for both? Well, division, I'm pretty sure that they'll be in first place unless the Jets pull something out of their wazoo and Miami starts figuring out how to talk to each other. Yeah. But how about in the entire conference? About where do you think they'll be?
It's hard now, Denver has a tough schedule because they have to play the NFC West.
Correct. Yeah. They host one of the Niners, and I believe they go to Seattle. They go to Seattle.
Conceivably, and Kansas City gives them a tough time. So conceivably, you could easily give Denver four losses, you know, looking at their schedule.
Kansas City's taking a major step back. I don't think Kansas. Yeah. I think Kansas City might be in for a bounce back year.
Arrowhead's a tough place.
You could split Kansas City.
Right.
So you could sell me on three losses, but you know I could sell you on three Patriots losses.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, because if you don't beat them, they beat you.
Right. That's true. But you know
that's analysis you only get here. If you don't beat them, then
that's
they beat
very
you.
In depth. I like that.
You're not winning. You're losing.
But I think 13-3 could give you the best conference record.
Oh yeah, I would think. If you
put you in the running,
in the running. But it's huge. As I said, I think you know we're back to the old days when we face Manning. We want to face him here, not there.
Right.
Whether it's the dome or even in Denver, because I didn't know this, but apparently Denver is more seasonably nice.
You have
than
to
New
factor
England.
In my 2014 hot sports take, which is this is the year he slides off the cliff.
Yeah, good call with that. He's working harder than ever. He's visiting Nick Saban to try to pick some things up, maybe even breaking some rules and doing so.
Uh-oh.
You didn't see that?
No.
He and Adam Gase, their offensive coordinator, visited Saban, and I'm assuming to talk defense and different things, but you're not allowed to do stuff with your coach at this time of the year. So then Saban came out, no, I met with them separately. They weren't together because it could have been a violation of NFL rules.
I see. All right, Todd, thanks for the call, and I'll try not to be so cantankerous for you. Am I being cantankerous?
I didn't actually notice it, but I like playing along.
Yeah, sure.
When we talked about religion,
you were poo-pooing a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you don't like churches.
You gave the dismissive wave
of your
hand.
You know, you got mad at me for, you know, God forbid, talking about the fact that I finished the hardest marathon in the world yesterday.
Did I get mad?
He hasn't shut up about it this morning.
Yeah. Was I mad?
Can't stop talking about it. Move on, Andy.
I was just telling people how excited you were about it.
And should I not be?
That's all I was doing.
Well, you can say, Andy's been really excited about the marathon. Or
he hasn't stopped talking about it
all morning.
You've been a bit of an a-hole today.
Okay. All right.
I wouldn't go that far, but.
A bit of an a-hole.
Okay.
Pooping on my parade.
Okay.
On your marathon.
TG and NJ, Aaron Murray, quarterback from Georgia, please.
No, thanks.
Nah, he stinks.
Aaron Murray?
He doesn't stink.
No.
But I'm not interested.
Can't win.
You know who
one.
Was at the marathon yesterday?
A lot of people.
Arthur Lynch.
Oh, yeah.
Our own Jackie Britton apparently saw him and walked up and said, "Hey, Arthur." And he was like, who are you? And then she introduced herself and said, "I met you at the combine and all that." Wow. But yeah, Arthur Lynch was at the marathon.
TG also says, maybe because they pushed the draft back, but I'm not as excited about it this year. I'm expecting the usual Belichick trade out of the first round, and then in the second round, picking some unknown player from some unknown college just to get Mike Mayock flustered. In Bill we trust, except for the draft. I won't be staying up to find out who the Pats trade out of the first round with. So weird to see Revis in Patriots gear. That's kind of an aside there.
Yeah, that was totally. When do you get excited about the draft?
I'm excited,
but it's a different excitement.
On draft day.
But even like a couple years ago when we had the 17th pick in addition to the whatever it was, 20-something, you could talk yourself into, or I certainly tried to talk, you know, they could trade up. They could get Robert Quinn. They can move up here. They can do this. I mean, when you have the 29th pick and you're looking at, you know, a couple positions, it's just, it's not quite as sexy.
Well, I'm not just looking at this draft from the Patriots perspective. I'm looking at it overall NFL, who's going to go where and what teams are going to pick who.
But that's interesting. I'm not sure it's exciting if you're a Patriots fan.
Okay.
Exciting if you're a Patriots fan is, could they actually trade into the top 10 to get this pass rusher, this receiver? Yeah. That's not really an option this year. They're going to
either pick a 29. I'm really fascinated to see where Clowney goes and which quarterbacks are going to go before which. And so I think there's a lot of interesting things going into this draft that have nothing to do with the Patriots.
Right, but that's the point. That's an NFL perspective.
Right.
These are people that are passionate Patriots fans who, from their own, what is it, myopic interests?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know, there's not a ton there, really.
Yeah. Dustin in Columbia, South Carolina, I can't listen to the show live right now because I'm at work, but I was wondering if you would ever consider trading Gronkowski. If so, what is a possible player you would like to get for him? You can include picks. I love Gronk, but his durability is a huge concern. Love the show, and I've been listening for 3+ years. Keep up the good work.
I mean, I would consider trading Gronkowski. Why not?
Sure.
You know, he's injury prone. He's great. He might have some value. You might be looking to move on to something a little more consistent, durable.
It doesn't necessarily have to be on offense either, right?
No. I mean, it can, or it could just be a flat out first round pick. You know, would you take a first round pick for Gronkowski? Would you take a
A first round pick? No. I would want more than that. I think we.
Me too.
I think he's worth more than that, even in his, banged up state.
And, you know, a player. Well, you have to. I mean, if you're just trying to fill a slot, you're talking about a player that has to be the key to your offense on some level, because he is the key to this offense. So, I guess if you get a first round pick and make a pick, you know, if Mike Evans is on the clock at wherever, you know, I haven't memorized the draft order, but you know. Let's say Minnesota calls you. Mike Evans is on the clock. They would like Gronk, the eighth pick in the draft. Would you trade Gronk for the eighth pick and take Mike Evans? Or maybe that becomes the centerpiece of your offense. Mike Evans is now your go-to receiver.
I just don't think I could do a one-to-one swap.
I wouldn't either. I'm just saying, I think you could talk about it.
I would talk about it, but I couldn't say that. No, I would. No, I wouldn't just take.
So a player and a first round pick, maybe.
It would have to be a pretty decent player.
What if
too.
Cleveland calls?
I wouldn't just take
says,
a scrap heap guy.
Gronk for Josh Gordon.
No,
and a pick. Gronk's
You're
better
than that.
Gronk's better than that.
Oh, hard to argue. Josh Gordon had a phenomenal year.
He did, but I think
he played 14 games.
He did, Gronk, but where Gronk is, when Gronk's right, he's involved in more plays than a Josh Gordon would be. You know, because he's also involved in the run game. And you know,
Josh Gordon had a ridiculous season.
He did
with
on a bad.
I don't even know who the, I can't yeah. even name the quarterbacks.
Well, there were like five of them.
Right, sure. I don't even know who the quarterbacks were.
No, you're
were.
Right.
So, you know, if everybody thinks Brady makes, you know, the best use of his weapon, whatever, you put Josh Gordon on this team, where does that go? And I think the interesting fairness of the trade is Josh Gordon has off-field issues that could take him from you. And Gronk has injuries that could take you from them.
Right.
So maybe in some way you could sell yourself on that's a fair deal.
Elite wide receiver versus elite tight end. Who do you take? Forget about the name.
It would,
well, generally wide receiver.
Yeah, but it depends
but in this
on the
case,
player.
Yeah, I mean you're talking
Gronk
about,
is so good.
Yeah,
well that's what I mean. You know, Calvin Johnson or Gronk? When Gronk is 100% healthy and you know he's going,
I would take
be,
Calvin Johnson.
You would take Calvin Johnson?
I think so. It's hard to really
yeah,
say.
Yeah, that's a tough call because
Gronk is so freaking good.
He is that good, and Calvin Johnson is also one of the best receivers
ever
to play.
Yeah.
But that's like that's saying tough. Randy Moss or Gronkowski.
Yeah.
You know, for Randy Moss 2007. When he had 23 touchdowns, dominated, or Gronk, who would you take?
So odd to think that we actually had both Randy Moss and Gronk yeah,
right.
at the same time.
Who would you take? Come on. Oh, don't sigh. Make a decision. Poop, get off the
I
pot.
I think Gronk, knowing that he's going to be healthy. I think Gronk because he's just so versatile, and you know I don't have to worry about his head. He's just
we don't now. We're to the point where we don't worry about his head.
He's going no. I mean mentally. I
know what the head is. No, but like yeah, I thought we're not worried about his partying and his.
Nah, he's gonna be involved in the run game. I
think it's a good debate.
Yeah, it is.
I think it's a legitimate because when he, you could argue that he dominates the field like Moss did when he's on. You know, they both changed the offense,
yeah,
changed the game.
Absolutely,
and you could sell yourself on Gronk is a playmaker. From 20s to 20s, but in the red zone, he ups it another notch and a half or whatever.
Unguardable.
Maybe. So and
Gronk kind of stretches the field down that seam a little
stretches
bit.
Stretches the field, yeah. Sucks in people.
Yeah.
You know, that we all point to that Shane Vereen touchdown where he walked in. That's mm-hmm. Moss-like, where, you know, the defense is so worried about one guy that other guys get lost in the mix and make plays.
Yeah. So
it's a good debate.
It is.
It's not the great debate, but it's a
no.
good debate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tony.
And I love Gronk as much as anyone, but I think on some level, the receiver, if you're going truly an elite receiver, I might give a slight edge to. Slight.
Yeah.
But I do like Gronk.
You know, I just think the number of plays an elite tight end is involved in versus an elite receiver, you know, you're going to get more bang out of your buck with that tight end. But like you said, the receiver just changes the game.
And,
you know,
the other side is look at it from a defensive perspective. And I'm going the whole league, 32 teams. Is there anybody who can take away Gronk?
No.
Is there anybody who can take away an elite receiver? I think you can argue that a man
Jarrell
that
but at a cost. Yeah. You can, but at a cost.
But at I mean, I'm not even. I don't know that anyone can take away Gronk, or two guys, or whatever. You know, just the nature of his skills, the location. You know, But I think you can argue that maybe Sherman, maybe Revis can take away Johnson or Moss or whoever the elite receiver is. So that could be a check in the Gronk category.
But the argument to that, like a guy like Josh Gordon, where he's the only guy you have to worry about, yet he still came up with those numbers.
Correct.
You know? So.
It's.
Yeah.
It's a tough debate. You know, the bottom line is, any position where you can get one of the top two or three players, you'll take it.
Yeah.
Because they will make your whole team better, whether it's defensive end, whether it's corner, safety. If you can get a top three player at any position, your team is going to be significantly better for it.
Yeah. Now, Kevin is from Cologne, Germany. As opposed to Florida, cologne smells very good. First of all, congratulations to
smells like cologne. Leave it alone.
First of all, congratulations to Andy and all participants of the Boston Marathon yesterday.
Thank you, Kevin.
I have a question for Andy.
Who's in a home, by the way, of former NFL Europe hat. There was a cologne team there.
Oh, that's right. That's true.
Very popular. The German teams carried that league late in its
season. They did the best. Yeah, Frankfurt. And
it's left there, yeah. Yeah.
I have Ryan a question Fire. For Andy, but you all should feel free to answer. Would you be okay if we take D1 Buchanan with our first round pick? That might be a reach, but you can never be sure to get him later or find a partner to trade up in the second round. I really like this kid and think this would put us over the hump defensively.
It would depend who's on the board, but I could certainly talk myself into taking him at 29.
Yeah.
And it's certainly if no one slipped, if there's not some guy that I think is an elite type player at another position, who would be a possible?
Mike Evans.
Yeah. Somebody like that, or even an Anthony Barr, who I've kind of fallen in love with, although Mayock and Kuiper don't like him. They think he could be a second round pick. If Anthony Barr is on the board at 29, I'm taking Anthony Barr. I think he could be a dominant defensive player, and I think he's better than Buchanan. But I could certainly talk myself into Buchanan at 29, yes.
And if they do take him, we have the right to call him D1.
Except it's Dayone. No. And that, I know. And
jokingly,
then it's going to confuse. But then it's going to confuse people even more because they're going to think it's D1.
The one's the one.
Yeah.
But it's Dayone.
Dayone's the one.
Nah, maybe it's the one.
What we should do is,
if they draft him, Dayone his rights.
That's not bad.
Oh.
Or like, Dayone owns the day.
Yeah.
And then people will maybe, that must be Dayone, and he owns the day.
No, they'll say DeJuan owns the
DeJuan.
Junior from Dorchester writes in, I've heard the theory floating around that since this is such a deep draft, there should be a lot of trading partners to move up. However, I think this draft is interesting because there seems to be a lot of quarterbacks falling in the first round. This may lead to a lot of quarterback needy teams who passed on quarterbacks in early in the first round to trade up in the latter half of the first round, where the Patriots currently stand. So in theory, it seems like there would be more teams trying to trade down. When you actually look at the players in the draft, that might not actually be the case. I agree. I think.
Well, there's a lot of theories on this draft.
Yeah.
You know, trading up, trading down, depth. There's not as many blue chip prospects. You know, that it lacks star power, that blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of theories, and that plays into what you said, Fred, that it's going to be an interesting overall NFL draft.
Sure.
Strippers chiming in. Dell's Lemonade has 27 grams of sugar per serving, which is 2 grams of sugar more than the World Health Organization recommends for a day. So you get more than your day's sugar in a Dell's.
Aye, aye, aye.
Not healthy.
Yeah. And what... They have different sizes, so what's a serving? Is it a small, medium, large?
Oh, I don't know.
I usually get a medium.
Not in shirts, you don't.
Broad shoulders. You know? Couldn't fit into it.
Broad shoulders?
Broad is a synonym, you know, for fat. I don't like any steak that has broad on it, because I don't like fat.
You don't like broads.
I do like broads. There was a hot broad from Brazil running you. Smoking.
Really? Some Telemundo or something?
She looked of that ilk.
Yeah, really?
Looked like she had big fake cans and nice taut bum. It was nice.
So you just followed her and gave you instead of like a carrot on the stick?
She kind of pulled away.
Really?
She was faster than me.
Really? Good runner.
Yeah.
Wow.
Those cans were nice, though.
Oh, boy. You could get in front of her and run backwards.
That would be
funny. I was thinking about that.
Poke
like,
her in the face.
Like when your quads are really
poke
hurting.
Poke her face.
No, I was wondering, like when your quads are really hurting on a hill or something, are you allowed to turn around and like run backwards?
You can do anything you want, yeah.
Would that help?
On a downhill, it probably would, assuming you didn't fall.
Right.
Because that's the problem. Yes, you're tired, and I think it would probably help take some, but the coordination to do it takes muscles and
energy.
I actually thought about it because the downhills were excruciating on my quads, and it was to the point where I was hoping for uphills because they felt better than the downhill on my quads. But I actually thought like maybe sideways even and like kind of like shuffle for a while.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, if I try to make that transition, I could fall, and then it's over. Like, now I'm all shot.
Right.
So I just kept with the shuffle, kept the feet kind of moving.
Right. Sam writes in,
You run next year?
What?
Why don't you run next year?
Because I don't want to.
Because I choose
I prefer
not to
not
run.
Because you couldn't.
There was a,
I probably
just so
couldn't.
You guys know, there's a gentleman that ran the marathon backwards this year.
The whole thing?
Yeah, he was injured in the blast, I believe, and was blind, and I guess that's the easiest way for him to go, and he had someone just kind of leading him the whole way.
Huh. Oh. There were a lot of guided runners. I saw a bunch of them.
You wanted
various.
You wanted to make a point of, like, you don't need to see to be able to do the marathon, and so, like, in other words, like, if you're running backwards, you're not looking where you're going, so you just made a, you know, tried to
well,
do
the
it.
The person
like
guiding him had to train for the marathon then, too.
Oh, all those guides, yeah. There were a ton of them with people with various. I saw
any dogs?
I don't think I saw any dogs.
Kind of
yeah, I think they give them human guides.
Yeah.
You know, people to help
right.
them. Some of them with like tethers or whatever. Some of them just supporting them however they need it. But yeah, I saw a lot of guided runners.
Okay. Little known facts of Sam. I went to Rhode Island School of Design and we had a hockey team. The hockey team's name was the the RISD Nads. So you can imagine when we would play
Nads.
Some people love to cheer for us, right? You were ahead of the joke.
Well, that, we
go
talked
Nads.
About it earlier. You probably weren't listening, but there was a guy with a sign that said "Go Nads,"
right?
And he had a stupid smirk on his face too, like
he knew.
And
what
I
he
wonder
was doing.
If he kept the smirk for like 4 hours.
Yeah, because he figured, 36,000 people are going to see this.
Right. Go Nads,
Cody in West Virginia. Great
Cody
show.
Cody Latimer, one of the great rising unknowns
if
of the
you
draft.
Ever run the marathon again, you should put Nads on your shirt. People think it's your name.
There you go.
Oh, I put Nads on your mother's shirt.
Oh. I just want to say that I think this would be the first time that if the Patriots traded out of the first round, then I would actually be ecstatic. I really want D1 Buchanan with our first pick and then Troy Nicholas with our second pick. If we can achieve this and add a few more picks in the process, then in my opinion, we will solidify most of our team's major needs.
Yep.
I also want to get your opinion on running back like Charles Sims from West Virginia. I live in West Virginia and watch all their games, and he could be a real nice complimentary back in the NFL. I'm not saying we get him in the third round or anything like that, but with the departure of Blunt and our inconsistency at the running back position, I think that if we can get him in the fifth round or something like that, then he would be a really nice pickup.
I haven't finished watching the backs yet. I will say in that vein that there's been a lot of little smoke rumors that maybe the Patriots like Andre Williams to make the short ride down 95 to Foxborough from BC as a long-term, you know, replacement for Ridley and the Blunt role and whatever it may be. Obviously had a great year last year, a Heisman candidate-type year. I lost some interest in him when I saw him at St. Elmo's at the Combine. He's a little smaller than I thought he was for a guy with that many yards and carries and pounding. He was a little underwhelming waiting in line to get my table.
Okay.
You know, for whatever that's worth.
All right.
It's kind of like when I saw Mike Singletary in line at the Waffles at the hotel. He was much smaller than I expected.
Okay. Well, he's also, you know, what, 30 years removed
can't
from...
Can't do it! Won't do it!
Lost a lot of weight.
No, literally, he can't do it anymore. He's tiny.
So what's coming up this week on Patriots.com? Anything
continue
special?
The schedule, we hope.
Yeah, maybe the schedule. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
No
who
later
knows?
Than Thursday, says Eric. We'll have another prospect review where we preview all the various prospects tomorrow.
Why haven't we still not changed that after all these years?
I don't know. Because we like to stick with what we do, even if it's bad.
And that's not right.
I changed the intro. I took out that squeal, the preview.
Premium. Thing. Oh, poor, what's his name?
Mike Schmidt. I figured it was time for a change, so I made new one.
I'm going to start hitting the blog this week, big time.
Yeah.
With my draft stuff.
opening some eyes that people won't agree with about who I like and who I don't like and the various positions and my lust for Barr, even though experts like
Schefter? Kuiper?
I don't know. All those ESPN guys all blended into one. They don't like him. I love him. We're going to be starting hitting that big.
And Eric kind of teased we might have a special player on Thursday. Yes.
Well, a
so I'm told.
You don't feel
it's proper to say who that might
be? Well, we like to tease it to make people, you know.
It's like the girls when they talk to Eric. They're just teasing him. There's no chance that he's going to, you know, get with them. But
he's right.
So there's the Tom Brady level, and then there's, I don't know, some lineman that I don't even know is on the practice squad level. Where does he come in between?
He's a starter.
He's a starter.
Yes.
Okay.
We'll say that much.
All right.
I wouldn't call him special necessarily.
No,
but good solid get.
Okay.
If we get him.
At an intriguing position.
Intriguing position. Okay. I wonder what that could be. You know, cuz that's subjective.
Correct.
You know.
But I think everybody is interested in this person for a variety of different ways, now and moving forward.
All right. So now you've piqued everyone's interest.
That's the whole idea.
You've whetted their appetite.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's two interesting words you just chose, right? Cuz peaked is not P-E-A-K-E-D.
No, P-I-Q-U-E.
And wedded is not W-E-T-T-E-D.
That's right. W-H.
Per se.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which is not P-E-R-S-A-Y.
And with that,
we got a G-O.
You wedded yourself during the marathon yesterday.
We close the show in typical PFW and Progress fashion, talking about nothing. All right. We'll see you on Thursday. Thanks for listening. Congratulations to Andy on his achievement and everyone else who finished the marathon yesterday.
Black man with black hair, little blind man. He's got an interstate running through his front yard. You know he thinks he's got it so good. And there's a woman in the kitchen cleaning up the evening.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.